Okay, good morning, everybody. We are up to the Gemara, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, in the middle. Let us remember, we're trying to prove that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, that you're only letting chametz for 4 hours, and the fifth hour you're not letting chametz, which obviously was what we were talking about, contemporary practice. And we're up to, about 60% of the way down. V'af Rebbe Sabar L'Hod Rav Nachman. Even Rebbe agrees with Rav Nachman, meaning that the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning even Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rabbi Mar Vada, Ma'aseh Banim Echad Shehefket Diskiyam LeChametz Esul Yochanan Chakukah. A certain guy gave a sack of chametz to the Kadosh, to Yochanan Chakukah, to watch. And they could Achbar by Yochanan to Vasu to Yotze. And mice bit a hole in it, and the chametz was like coming out the holes. Well, if they Rebbe, and he went in front of Rebbe and Erev Pesach, this was to do. Sharvi Shon Amar LeChametz. First hour he said, wait, Shnei Amar LeChametz. Second hour he said, wait, Shlish Amar LeChametz. He said, wait, why is he waiting? In case the owner comes back to claim his chametz. Revius Amar LeChametz. Chameshus Amar LeChametz Rishok. The fifth hour, Rebbe finally said, go and sell it in the Shok, because it was running out of time. And if he didn't sell in the fifth hour, it would come Asar, there'd be nothing for the owner to come back to. My love, the Nachrim, Kirabi Yehuda. It doesn't that obviously mean sell it to Goyim, because it's also for Jews to eat, and that proves like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef is holding his trial. Okay, Rabbi Meir. No, that's not a proof we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. It could be we hold like Rabbi Yehuda and he sold it to Goyim, but it could be that we hold like Rabbi Meir, that Jews are letting the fifth hour, he sold it to Jews. Now, why weren't we comfortable with this in the first place? Before, because we're about to say, no, it's not. It's dochok to say he sold it to Jews. Why? I'm laid by it. Yisrael, Nishkele, and Nafshe. Give me Yisrael, Nishkele, and Nafshe. If he's much of a Jew, he can sell it to Jews. Why bother to go out to the shuk and sell it to Jews? Just sell it to himself and eat it. Wouldn't that be a lot easier? The answer is shada. No, he can't sell it to himself. It's a shad. Let's say it's worth, I don't know, $5. He goes and sells it to the shuk and $5. Look legit. But if he gives $5 and takes it for himself, it might look like he was trying to rip the guy off because he had power. He was holding on to it. It was really worth $6 and he only paid $5. How do we know that you have to worry about a shad? If a gabbai tzedakah has no poor people to give the little coins to, they switch the money. They switch the little coins to the big coins with others, but not switch for themselves. Just because it might have shot, you might think that they cheated. They took more than they gave. Likewise, gabbai tamchoi, not in charge of money, but in charge of plenty of food for poor people. She'en lami l'chalik, they have no poor people to give the food to spoil. Mochem achirem, ein mochem la'atzman. Sell it to others, not to themselves. That's very parallel to the case we just had. We should never be said, Nikiya, may Hashem be Israel. It's not enough to be lucky for Hashem to do what's right in the eyes of Hashem with everything. We also have to be lucky for Israel, even the Jews who only know what it looks like on the outside, but jump to conclusions. You also have to be lucky and avoid any chashad. Okay, that's a general principle. Okay, but what do we see from this story before we go on to so what do we see so far? That we don't have a proof whether he sold it to Jews or Goyim, so it doesn't mean anything about which we hold. But then, Amar Le'Avad Mar Masna, the Rav Yosef, the famous Amar Lan, saying, Rokon L'Chacham, the Nachrim, sorry, Kir, Rabbi Yehuda. No, but Rav Yosef, the famous, had a Masorah, meaning from the version of the story we had until now, he can't prove either way. Rav Yosef had a Masorah for when this story happened. That Rabbi told Yochan of Chakukah to go sell it to Goyim. Now, he'd be like, Rabbi Yehuda, he can't sell it to Jews, because Jews are in the fifth hour, and this is sort of the end of proving Pasla. And that's why nowadays we possibly like Rabbi Yehuda, because all of these Amarot Tanaim held like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, just analyzing this story. One thing that bothered me when I read this story is why is it what part of the story just seems unnecessary at a shot level? That the mice bit a hole in it and it was coming out the holes. Like, how is that relevant to the story?
I thought there's an extra finish here. That even though that was true, he thought to wait for
it. Exactly. That's what the Maran Chalava says. The Maran Chalava says it has to do with what we're about to read, right? Which is, what are we about to read? That if you have a covenant of someone, you can't. Okay, the Machlokes and Bumatzi Alai. Let's take the first reason here. Because a person wants their own object. They don't want money instead. People like the objects that they have. So you can't just sell it if you're worried about what will happen to it. Even if it's suffering some loss, if it's not Yosef Dechasrona, if it's not more than a normal loss, you can't sell it. So the Kiddush is that even though it has some loss, because the mice ate it, in because it was only a very small loss, not Yosef Gideches Ronan, he still can sell it during the first 4 hours. That's what Mar Palava says. Agav, in the Shulchvos Yaakov, Simon Yod Tess, he gives a different shot. Yeah. Exactly. That's what the Shulchvos Yaakov says. The Shulchvos Yaakov, he says that no. The guy didn't tell Yochanan and Chakakal it was chametz, and he wouldn't have done anything because you don't have to assume everything's chametz. And the guy just would have been bad that it was chametz Shavuot Pesach, and it wouldn't have been anyone's fault. And the reason why it's part of the story is not just halacha, but just that's how the story went. If the mice hadn't bit it, he wouldn't have known it was chametz. Once the mice opened it, now he knew it was chametz. And the truth is that Shmos Yaakov does learn a halacha from this. The halacha he learns from this is that if someone gives you a pikadon and doesn't say what it is, you don't have to worry that it's chametz when Pesach comes. Unless you haven't seen it. That's what he's been dying for this. Okay, so Chori has to say one of these two answers. Otherwise, it would just be weird for an irrelevant detail to be in the story. Now let's go to the Gemara's analysis. The Agav, I will... let's go to the Gemara's analysis. The Gemara asks, Amalei Vadabar Masna L'Rav Yosef. Sorry, that's what we just read. Amar of Yosef. Kaman Ozlo HaShmaitza. Who does this story follow? The Rebbe, this mice of Rebbe. Kirashbag, the Tanya, Mafke Pierce, Chavar Filo, and Avudim, Loyigo, Behen, Rashbag, or Boker, Bezin, Nega, Shabzabeda. This only follows Rav Shimon Gamliel because the Tanakhama, let's quote the Chachamim, say that if someone's Mafke produce with you, even if it's going to be ruined, you can't sell it. You're not allowed to sell it, you have to just let it sit, and whatever happens, happens. Only Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you sell it in Bezdin, I mean, not literally have to sell it in Bezdin, but you need Bezdin to evaluate the price so that you make sure not to rip anyone off. Because of Hashem Safekda, right? So, this story only works for Shimon Gamliel, that the guy had the right to sell it for Hashem Safekda. According to the Muhammad, he was not allowed to sell it. Now, just the Maram Kalama makes an interesting deal here. Hold on a second. According in this half mina, it's only a half mina. Every question about the half mina, you could always say, if I see any question on the half mina, you could always say, oh, you're right, it's just a half mina, there's no answer. Like, you know, they could have asked that, it doesn't really make sense, and that's why it's only a half mina. But if we do take the half mina seriously, what's the half mina? The half mina is that lefi rashbag mokro, bisha chamishis. Clearly, the Havamina, according to Chachamim, is that you are not allowed to sell it, right? But what do you do, according to Chachamim, the Havamina? The Havamina is, this only works for Shbag. The Chachamim would have not let you sell it. And then what do you do if you don't sell it, according to the Chachamim? So, this is a bit of a machlokes. What are the two possibilities? For this Havamina, what would the Chachamim tell him to do? Don't sell it. But rather, no, eating it, that's worse than selling it, because first of all, he's losing it just if you sold it, and you're chashat. Either keep it, no, because feeding your animals is, again, it's like selling it, in that you're getting rid of it, it's just worse because you're chashat. So either keep it, or burn it in the sixth hour. Right? Well, who are those two possibilities? Who holds these two possibilities? Maram Chalava holds, you should just keep it. According to the Rambam, the Havmina is, you should just keep it. And according to the Yad David, doesn't like this, he didn't know the Maram Chalava, the Yad David is from David Sinsheim. He was a very famous historian. He's also famous for writing Yad David, but it's on his farm. He was famous historically. He was... Nasi the Sanhedrin. Who's Sanhedrin? No, he didn't have a Sanhedrin.
In France with Napoleon.
Napoleon, right? Napoleon convened the Sanhedrin. He's the only one who convened the Sanhedrin since the time of the real Sanhedrin. A few years ago, someone tried to make a Sanhedrin here in Shabbayim also. Yeah, there have been two Sanhedrins since the real one. Napoleon made a Sanhedrin. Where he wasn't necessarily so worried about the Halos Sanhedrin. He just called it a Sanhedrin. Like, he didn't worry about the Smicha or anything. He just called it a Sanhedrin. And then someone tried to make a Sanhedrin recently without much success and tried to make a Halos Sanhedrin. Anyway, Napoleon made a Sanhedrin. Rav David Sinsheim was the head of the Napoleonic Sanhedrin. you can give him credit for being responsible for setting the tone of the integration of Jews into the modern world for the last, over 200 years. Good credit. Basically, Napoleon made a Sanhedrin. We're not doing history now. Napoleon made a city, wanted to give equal rights to Jews, emancipation. That was all Napoleon's idea, right? Which is, I'll get the stories with the Alter Rebbe about this. But he decided that he wanted to make sure the Jews could be good citizens of the emancipated world and not backwards and tribal and discriminatory. So he got a Sanhedrin and gave them all the important questions to ask to see if the answers of the Jewish people would allow them to be citizens in the modern world or they were too tribal and insular. And it wasn't a pasha task because sort of if you just told the truth of the halacha, that's not what Napoleon wanted to hear. And if you told what Napoleon wanted to hear, then that wasn't the truth of the halacha. And Rav David Sinsheim, who was not everyone in the Sanhedrin was maybe exactly a proper bundle, but he was the head of Sanhedrin. He was very, very smart and clever. And he figured out a way to explain everything in accordance with the halacha and in a way that Napoleon would understand and made it work. You know, he knew how to spin it, we'd say nowadays. He knew how to spin it and tell Napoleon the right halacha without insulting him. Okay, so very successful. Anyway, but that's not our point now. Our point now is this is my focus between the Yad David and the Mar Palav. The Mar Palav says to keep it. The Yad David says you'd have to burn it in the sixth hour of this happening, you know, which is a little weird. Like, I'm just going to burn this guy's humming swine and just sell it for him. The answer is no. You have no right to sell it for him. Maybe he'll come back any second. And once it's too late, you have to burn it. The Mar Palav has a problem here, which is, how can you keep it? What about Bali Rabbi Yotze? So this reminds us, there was some Mishtabura, I think, in brackets that summarized this. Let us remind ourselves of, by the way, it's not only Mar Palav, I mean, we know it as the Mar Palav, but before they had published all the, more obscure Rishonim for manuscript, the Yad David quotes that it's also the Pri Chadash. Right? On the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes it as Pri Chadash, so tough on the test. Probably just looked at the top of the page and said, tough man. But this brings up the question of, well, hold on, if you do keep it, why is there no value of value matzei? So if we just want to remind ourselves of who violates value rabbi matzei, if one Jew's chametz in another Jew's house, so even without a Christ, right? Let's assume without a Christ, with a Christ, then obviously we know. Even without a Christ, who remembers the Shitas? Who violates by Rabbi Matze? The Grosbadite from Rashi, that who violates? The Nifgad, exactly. The Gra Alpi Rashi says the Nifgad. It's really about the house. Okay, and what do the Bali Tosfos hold? Exactly. The Bali Tosfos and the brush, let's say, hold the mafkid, the owner. And what are the Rishonei Sfarad hold? Rishonei Sfarad, I don't mean the early Rishonei Sfarad from pre-Tosfos, the Rif and the Rambam. They're not as crystal clear on this, but I mean the later Rishonei Sfarad, Ramban, and the Rebbe Dovid, and the Maram Chalava. Exactly. Right? So the Rishonei Sfarad say neither violates Margo, like I'll say Mar Palava is one of the Rishonei Sfarad who said earlier in the Masechet that neither of them violate Margo Ali Matze. Of course, we adopted the Mar Palava and everyone said earlier in the Masechet, even though neither of them violate Margo Ali Matze, it's still Usher Drop Badan to have any coming to the Jew in your Roshas. Okay, the Rish Chadosh sounds like it's not Mr. Rabbanan. The Mar Palava here has to be a little Nitcha. Because all the Rishonim that we saw, we said that it's still Asur Midrabanan. So it's at least an Isha Drabanan. How can Maram Chalava say in this half meter to keep it? So the Maram Chalava answers, yeah, you can decide how much you like his answer. Again, if you look at the Rishonim, it seems like he denies even an Isha Drabanan. That's very major. The Maram Chalava here, he said earlier in the second Isha Drabanan, and he said, the Dilma Zabne Ihu Lagai, Rafili Sugar, Bottlebacko, Shamaki, was like, I've looked you ahead. He says, maybe the guy sold it to a guy wherever he was, meaning even before when he was coming, like nowadays,
They knew how to sell things. They knew what Goyim were. Maybe this guy was stuck overseas, and he said, I'm not going to make it home on time. So he came up. Well, he was clever, or he asked the rabbi for advice, and he sold it to a guy through one of the modes of Pinyan that can work long distance, like we do nowadays. Not that he even intends to buy it back, like we do. Maybe sold to a guy permanently. So, therefore, it's a suffix Rabbanan. Maybe sold it to a guy. And a guy is coming to your land, have your house, just build a wall, right? Suffix Rabbanan, suffix Rabbanan Lakula. That's the Maram Chalamba.
Sorry, so we're just trying to figure this out, meaning fundamentally, there isn't really a machlokas. I mean, it's a principle. There's no real machlokas between the Makhlova and the Yadavit. Meaning,
sure, there is.
It's more a machlokas by accepting what's with the Yadavit. Everyone agrees that you have to take care of the fact that there's no.
Everyone agrees there's a concern. The question is just what to do practically in terms of Tashkura. The question is just what to practice. The Maharaj says we can be masupik about an Isra Drabbanan and therefore we make all. The Yadavid would say, no, maybe there's not. Maybe it's not really good Safik, or maybe it's no Raisa and we should be Machmir. But there is enough Gemil Maisa. If the sixth hour comes, let's say there were no Goyim. You tried, you're a good person, you tried, and there were no Goyim. The 6 hour comes, what do you do? There is a machlokas.
Correct.
The prechadash sounds much more extreme. Again, I haven't read every prechadash, I just read this one. But sounds like for the prechadash, neither and there's no Isser Drabbanan, which is very radical. What did he really think? Like, I can just come and come into your house. It seems a little too radical. I don't see how he can mean it. But it seems a little too crazy. You know, that's what he says.
I mean, is it? I mean, could this be that, like Greg was alluding to before, that obviously, ideally, you would burn it because it's Mr. Martin to burn it. But in this scenario, they said, listen.
Correct. Even because, let's say, he would admit that when you're a bundle, the owner has to come burn it if he's in town. Right. Just if accidents happen. Okay, correct. So let's. So let's not make him seem so radical, because before he wouldn't be crazy. Okay, fight you. And there's many rayas that they bring. There's rayas they bring, at least in Isra Rabbanan, right? The Jew who was coming to the guy's house at least violates something. So, yeah, he'd have to come up with some excuse.
But it could also be that he's speaking that there's no Kabbalah Sacharias at all.
No, wait, this is even without Kabbalah Sacharias.
Yeah,
even
so then what?
Sacharias, the Gra says that the householder is Chayav. And the Tosos, Mali Tosos, and the Rosh say that the owner is Chayav. And the Ramban and Bibi Kershel say no one is Chayav. With Kabbalah Sacharias, Avada the Nifka is Chayav. Then, of course, the Maram Cholov would admit that you'd have to destroy it. The Maram Cholov might even say yourself that it's without a Chayav. And if he doesn't say it, he means it. Okay.
Could I back up a second? The whole thing that they bring from the Chachamim and Rashbag, they're two separate things. It's one thing when I mafki perusay to somebody and I say leave it, I know it's going to slowly spoil. But the sack with the stuff coming out, that's a different case.
Not fair. That's the Gemara's answer. That's the next line of the Gemara. You're not allowed to give the Gemara's answer and say, why did they give that answer? That's the next line of the Gemara. That it's more than normal. That it's more than normal spoilage.
No, there's more than normal, and then there's an accident. Yeah, it's going to spoil faster than I thought, but...
Okay, then I still think that's similar enough that it's, you know, you can't say why didn't the Gemara answer that, because that's not really the Gemara's answer.
The Maharaj tells me I have to get an answer to their bottom question. The Nifka, right? We spoke in the past about the
Mafka. Right, I think that's what I was saying with Yaakov before, that, you know, the Prechadish would admit there's a problem with the Mafka, just not on the Nifka. Because otherwise he'd be too many. I agree. Okay. Even though the Lashon Rabbeinu, the earlier was on the Nifkad, but okay, that we could disagree with. Okay, let's just read the Gemara's answer. Amalei Abaye, you think it's only Shbagna and Rabbanan? No, everyone agrees. Below, if I'm in Marla, I'm Rab, or Rechana, or Yochan, or Loshan, or Dechesronan, or Yosin, Dechesronan, broken rhythm. That's only if it spoils the normal, at the normal pace. But if it's spoiling more than normal, then even the Chacham admit means the Ikaron, everyone agrees. Fundamentally, the Chacham or Shbag don't disagree that you're allowed to sell things if they spoil. They only argue about the details. We're going to draw the line. Normal spoilage versus abnormal spoilage. And as Morty said, but this is even more than abnormal spoilage, the Gemara says that, and in this case, it's even more than the case of Chum agrees, that that's just more than normal spoilage. It's an accident that's going to cause a total loss. So that everyone agrees that we celebrate Shabbos Aveda. Okay, why do they say we celebrate Shabbos Aveda? Why do they mention Shabbos Aveda here? Anyone quote me a Drushas Chazal? Why has Shabbos Aveda should be brought in here and telling you you should sell it? I don't know if it's on the Makor sheet, but it's a Vedish. The Brisa says, Mohar Bezim, they are Shabbos Aveda. Why are they bringing up Shabbos Aveda? Who knows a Drush of Chazal?
Well, that's what it says.
Exactly. But why does he say it? Because one of Chazal Darshan, the parish of Shabbos Aveda, V'hayayim ha'adrosh achicha osal, v'hashev osal lo. V'hashev osal lo is an extra yitur lashon, and they darshan from it that you have to make sure it has hashava. And what do they say? Chazal Darshan, who says, Bok Metzia. Rashi quotes an Achumish there in Parshas Tetzei, that if you find the lost object that's Osav al-Bukhel, that you have to feed, but it works, then feed it, then rent it out for work, and that'll be for the food. What if you find something that's Osav al-Bukhel that costs money to upkeep, but doesn't produce anything? Osav, but doesn't produce anything. So let's say the animal you find is worth $100, but it costs you $10 a month to keep it. So after 10 months, even if he comes back, you're going to say, sorry, you don't get your animal back because you owe me $100 for the upkeep. So then, Chazal Darshan, Vashim also, you should sell it right away and save the money for him. Okay, that is Halach L'maisa V'Shabbos Aveda. So in Hashabbos Aveda, we find an explicit drush of the Pasuk that if something's going to lose its value, you should sell, you're chayav to sell it and keep the money for him. That's exactly what he's saying to do here. Then Vashim also Hashabbos Aveda. What is the big machlokas achronim? Very interestingly, the Rishonim don't seem to discuss this at all. What's the famous machlokas in the Magen Avraham and all the other achronim? The famous machlokas between the other Magen Avraham and the other achronim is al kilamdus, the chiyav limkar bishah hamishis. Is it only? But of course, Yochanan Chakuka, or the person in this case, the Nifgad, is more than just a Meshav Aveda. He's also a Shomer. So is it only Midin Hashabbos Aveda, or is it also Midin Shomer? Of course, Midin Hashabbos Aveda. It's a bus. Or is it also Midin Shomer? Or, you know, maybe it's a Shomer, it's not an Aveda. So, or is it Midin Shomer? Right? These are two different halachas. Is it that it's Midin Shomer? It says Hashabbos Aveda. That means it's not part of the deed of Shomer, it's only the Hashabbos Aveda. Or no, we get the idea from Hashabbos Aveda. It's found in the Pasuk of Hashabbos Aveda. But once we learn the idea of Hashabbos Aveda, we know it's part of Dini Shomer also. Right? Maybe if it hadn't said by Hashabbos Aveda, I don't know what we would have thought. But once the Torah says that by Hashabbos Aveda, by even a stranger, right? I spam see your sheep in the street. Call she came, the Torah says that by a Shomer, that's part of the responsibility of Shomer. What's the obvious stuff we mean if it didn't Hashabbos Aveda? Okay, I didn't do it. You have to pay, right? Everyone knows if someone's a Meshav Aveda and isn't Meshav Aveda, then they don't have to pay, right? If I might violate an assay, maybe even a lot. But if I see your cow on the street and I don't return it to you, I don't have to pay. If I'm a shomer and I'm Hoshea, then obviously I do have to pay. So that's the nafkamina. This is the famous kashlumim imlo machar. This is the famous machlosi in the Magen Avraham and all the other achronim says the Magen Avraham and nira da nifka chay l'shalim v'yeh b'kabel l'mafgid. The Asher Arkim Shal Yochel Hatzibro Maklos will he so chayiv Hafenami Halolamofer Kodesh of Man Isuro, right? Obviously, if he couldn't, not his fault. Says the Magen Avraham, he's chayiv to pay because this is Midinei Shomrim. Say all the other Achronim, the Midaik and Argamar. I put the Shulchan Acharav here, but Mishnah Berurah said all the Achronim and the Shaar Tzion. He lists a whole bunch of Achronim, the Eben Ozer, and many others. But the Shulchan Acharav says it nicely, but he's just representing most Achronim. He says, not true. They all knew the Magen Avraham, and they all say that it is not true. V'eino chayiv klal l'mochur ber Pesach machmash kibbutz shomer. You don't at all have a chiv to sell it because of Shmira.
But only because of Hashem's Aveda. And therefore, you don't have to pay.
I'm sorry.
And therefore, Eino Chayav L'Shalim Lo. So this is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And the Achronim say there's no Chiyav Shmira, only a Chiyav of Hashem's Aveda. What seems to be the Machlokas here? L'chor the Machlokas is, you know, what's the nature of Chiyav Shmira? What is the, Magen Avraham says, the Chiyav Shmira is to make sure the owner doesn't lose, like Hashem's Aveda. And what does Rav Aram say? Does he say? Not good. He says the Chiyav Shmira is to guard the object. Right? It's not to turn the object into another object. Right? You're not an investor who's supposed to buy things out. Your Chiyav Shmira is to guard the object. You have to do whatever you can to guard the object, you know, within the bounds of the level of your Shmira. Anything beyond guarding the object might be a chiyuv just as being a nice, stam person of Hashem's Aveda, but it's not part of Shmira because that's not called Shmira. So that seems to be my focus. Is Shmira klape the Chefza? You're supposed to guard this object? Or is Shmira klape avoiding any loss to the Bailim, right? Just to make sure the Bailim doesn't lose money.
One thing I was just a bit confusing is that the end of these days, we didn't show us Aveda. So if you're Kona at Aveda, then you don't have, you immediately become some kind of Shomer. So why in this case would you be any worse than a Shomer who didn't just pass by a cow, but it's calling that cow burn?
So I assume that the Achronim would say that, I assume they would say the same thing, that someone who passes by your animal in the street and takes it home is now a Meshav Aveda and a Shomer. And if they then don't, sell it, then they're not chayiv because of Shmira, because Shmira doesn't include that. They're only violating Hashem's Aveda. I think they would say the same thing about that case. Someone who finds your sheep and doesn't sell it only violates Hashem's Aveda, not Shmira, and you can't sue them.
But if he was Moshe, of course.
Correct. But that's Moshe and guarding the Chafetz, not Moshe and not selling the Chafetz. That's what I think. I could think of perhaps a chiluk, depending on, you know, who's the person suing for being paid back for maintenance. But that's Pashashat. So this seems to be a fundamental machlokas in what's the nature of Shmira. No, I'm assuming you're at least a Shomer Chinam, so you're Chalal Price from Shia, and Shia did not sell it to Dutch. Yeah. Assuming you're at least a Shomer Chinam, right? That's what a Shomer is. Not Shomer, it's at least a Shomer Chinam. The Chok Yaakov has an interesting Tzvei Dinim here. It's a long Chok Yaakov. The truth is, he doesn't really reveal much of his lumpus. It's a long Chok Yaakov, which we're summarized him pretty well. The Chok Yaakov depends what kind of Shomer you are. None of the other Chonim seem to make this Chalak. But according to the Chok Yaakov, who, interesting, is the same as the Shmos Yaakov that we mentioned earlier, being the same person, Yaakov Reicher, one of the like big early Chronim, maybe famous farm. The Chok Yaakov, he says it depends. If you're a Shomer Chinam, then you're Potter. But if you're a Shomer Sachar, then you're Chayiv. Meaning a Shomer Chinam is not part of your Shmira. You can't say Shia is part of your Shmira, but a Shomer Sachar is Chayiv. Okay, he doesn't explain the lumpus behind it. And I guess theoretically you could say whatever you want. Maybe you will. What do you think his Svar is? Why would it be? I understand the Svar of the other opponent. A Shomer is only to guard the Chayfetz. Everything else is not a false shomer. It might be called being a good person. But that's not part of being a shomer. That's a different theme of Shabbos Aveda being a good person. It's not part of a shomer. But why is he Mechal to Shomer Chinam Shomer Sachar? So this is more like Neva Veda than Shia. Right, this is more like Neva Veda than Shia. The only thing is that if it's nignav or nervad because of my pshia, then a shomkin is chayav, right? I mean, when is shomkin possible from nignav veda that happened in the normal course of the world without negligence? If I, just example, if I stop leave it on the street unguarded, what steals it? Then shomkin is also chayav, right? If I stop just open the door, let it wander out, the animal runs away, gets lost, shomkin is chayav. So I hear what you're saying. I'm just not sure how to justify it because here is the Nebuch Shia, right? He could have. I don't want to make it okay to that. Well, it would have been hard for him to sell it. No, he could easily have sold it, right? So if he could easily have sold it, then why shouldn't he be high because of Shia? So I hear you, Tanya. I'm just not convinced. Okay. But now you're saying the same as it's a higher level of Christ, but who cares if it's a higher level of Christ? If the guy was Poshea, then who cares if it's higher or lower? I think you want to make it more low, just higher or lower.
Didn't you say before, even if you accept on Christ in the first place, even in any of these cases, you'd be chayav?
You'd be chayav by Rabbi Matzah if you accept on Christ.
So,
but we're not discussing who's chayav by Rabbi Matzah, we're discussing who's chayav to pay.
Well, when you're showing yourself here,
might be more about Rabbi Matzah from many sheets, but I don't think we're asking that as much as Mishnah.
Well, we hear this being passive. It's going to come up, not. And you're passive, you're not selling it, as opposed to what Mishnah has happened, you're actively not protecting it.
You just said actively not protecting it, which is an oxymoron.
I know. This would have become by itself without any sheep. It would have become possible, like, it would have been like,
This happened on its own as opposed to something that happened.
You didn't save it.
You didn't save it from something that happened internally on its own, as opposed to you didn't save it from you left the door open for a thief from the outside. So I think that could be something, especially if you take the approach that's famous in the Rambam. What's the Rambam's famous approach for Shomer Chinam? Poshea Kamazik, right? What does the Rambam say? Shomer Chinam's not really chaya for Shira. It's just a thief. Poshea is like being mazik, the object. So maybe you can say that, what did the Chov Yaakov mean? He meant that, he didn't really mean that it's two different kinds of Shira. Really, it's like a Shira and like a not real Chiyav Shira. There's a Chiyav, the Shomer Sachar is Chiyav, so he is Shira. And the Shomer Chiyav is Chiyav, is a Chiyav Mazik. You can say, what's Moshe Ekim Mazik? If I allow a Hezek to happen, like I allow someone to steal it, or I allow it to get lost, that's Moshe Kamazik. But if it is becoming usher on its own, like all on its own, like from the moment this guy was mafkin it to me, it was already time, the clock was ticking, it was going to be usher when Pesach came. I just didn't change the situation. It's hard to call that Mazik. For Mazik, I have to allow something to happen, right? It's awesome passive, perhaps. I just didn't close the door. But I allowed something to actively happen and to be pushed. So maybe you could say, what's the Svara? For the Chok Yaakov, you could say, again, certainly if you take the approach of the Rambam of Poshek and Mazik, that Shomer Chinam is only Chayav for Mazik and Mimela, and Isser Mimela is not a Maisa Hesek, he doesn't have to do the Mazik, right? It's enough for him to open the door and let someone else do the Mazik. But you can't say it's mazik if it just naturally becomes also. Well, Shomer Sachar is chayav for lack of shira, and he didn't fulfill the chiyuv shmira. Meaning, avada part of the chiyuv shmira is the seventh. But it doesn't matter. Shomer Chinam is not chayav for not being shomer. He's only chayav if he was mazik. So this is a lack of shmira, but it's not a hezek. Theoretically, if you want, I thought you could also maybe say the fundamental difference that a shomer chinam's shmira is copy the chifetz. He is chayav to guard the chifetz, while the shomer sachar's shmira is copy the Bible. He is chayav to protect the Bible. Why? Shomer sachar gets paid by the Bible, so he's a personal obligation to the Bible. Shomer chinam doesn't get paid by the Bible. He just hands over the chifetz. He's chayav to the chifetz. So, or maybe, you know.
That's the same thing you said before.
Exactly, same thing you said before, that he has a chi of shmira klape hachifetz, right? Shmira, exactly, is only klapei hachifetz, as opposed to shmira klapei habaylem. And the Shomer Sofer, this is just what I said before, he has a chiva shmira klapei habaylem, which makes sense. If you're hired by the baylem, you have to protect the baylem. If you're given a chifetz, then you only have to protect the chifetz. Or maybe you could say, based on Moshe Kamazek, that the chiva Shomer Sofer is a real chiva shmira. Shomer Chinam is not even a real chiva shmira. He's just shouldn't be Mazek. I'm not saying I'm going to get to this, but okay. The school captain doesn't say what his story is. These are the two ways I think to say this far. Maybe some would call it other ways, you know. Shari Kirish Lomina.
So,
Ragnar
is
going to
say,
exactly. He's going to say, by even Chinam, and the other front of him is going to say, even by Sachar. Correct. I think so. Okay. Now I think we're ready to go weiter and go enter the realm of Chalos Tunda. So, or the first base I make this, first architecture. The old Amar of Yehuda. Let's go to Amid Beis and go weiter. And Leon, you know what? I think it's to die when you get a chance. Even though I didn't pull the whole board, we're starting a new idiom. Tana Tana Kame. So, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda's proof that he was right. Remember, the Rabbi Meir said there's only one transition, right? At the beginning of the end of the fifth, beginning of the sixth, coming becomes Asur. Rabbi Yehuda says there's two transitions. At the beginning of the fifth era, becomes also about Chiva. At the beginning of the sixth era, becomes also about Noah. What are Yehuda's proof? There are two transitions. See, he's in a sower from the Zman HaMikdash, that there were two simanim. What were they? They put two chalos toga on the itzva. They removed one, and then they removed the second. That proves there were two transitions. So, Tana, Tane, Tamir, Yehuda, Gav HaItzva. Right? Okay, in the Mishnah, there's different yourselves in the Mishnah, which doesn't really matter because you are. Tell us there are different yourselves. Right? And which is the right, which is the wrong one. The Tana, Itzva really means a... benches, right? They're placed with benches in the Mikdash. Benches for sitting also, for commerce, etc. You know, the benches were multi-purpose in those days. So they sit on top of the Itzdaba, meaning on the bench. I'm really making that thing. It's not really so high. Then if you put it on the bench, no one's going to see it. There's a roof over it. Put it on the bench under the roof. How can they see the whole city when you want to hide it? The whole point is to be a simon. That's stupid. Tani al gag ha'itzvah. Rather, you should learn have the correct verse of the Mishnah al gag ha'itzvah on the roof of the itzvah. If you know, there's a big itzvah. Itzvah is the English word is the same as the Hebrew word. It's not an original Hebrew word. It's a stoa, right? It's a stoa. Stoa is itzvah. Stoa, stuff, right? Stoa. There was a big stoa that Herod built in the base of Mikdash. It was on the southern wall. You know the southern wall where the excavations are now? It was destroyed. It was on top. But right on the top of the southern wall, where I don't know what there is now, but there isn't the original building anymore, there was a big area with benches with a roof over it. And that was where they put it, obviously on the roof, not on the benches. Amar Rachva, Amar of Yehuda, Harabai Stav Kafal, it was a double stav. Tani Nami Yachin, also in the Brisa, Harabai Stav Kafal Hayah, it was a double stav. Rabbi Yehuda, where Istavanis, Paisanikras, it's called Istavanis, which is like a longer form, a more emphatic form of the word to show it's double. Stav lifting is stav, a stav inside a stav, meaning a double stav. Okay, why is it important in our Gemara to teach you that it's a double stav? Right? Not clear. You might have thought, just, it's not important anymore, it's a tangent, right? But Nirlani is daiti that it was relevant to our point because, I mean, if you've never seen a picture of it, I don't know if you can figure out the svara.
It was just a higher up, it was like more
show. Exactly. If you look at Josephus's description of, well, I don't know if I brought it in, of what. No. Okay, but if you look at Josephus's description of what it looked like, he says usually stoas were single stoa. Right, there was like columns that held up a roof, right? Then there was like a walkway with benches in between. This was, actually, it was like four rows of columns, three walkways. That's a double stub to me stuff, like the inner one and outer ones. And architecturally, the way they built it, because it had an inner and an outer stuff, is that there's a roof on the outer stuff, but the roof on the inner stuff was one story higher. That was architecturally, when they built a double stuff, it was double wide, right? Stuff with nimi stuff. But it also meant it was twice as high, because architecturally, they make the roof of the outer stuff one story high, and the roof of the inner stav, two stories high. I mean, it was like really high. It was much more than two stories high. You know, they knew how to build in those days. So I think that's why they bring it here. It's a double stav, which meant, if you understand Roman architecture, that the roof was higher than a normal stoa in the middle. Like the roof was normal in size and higher in the middle, and then it was such a high roof, that's relevant for our mission. Why would they put it al-Gag, not anywhere else, because it was a super high roof, and you can see it for all of your showing. So pastures, that's why they bring it in. Now you can find all this beforehand in Josephus in Antiquities of the Jews, paragraph 410 or something, which I meant to bring in, but I don't have my office. Okay. I think the lulav dafka, I mean, that's what somewhat the Rishonim were doing. No, adrabba. They have the opposite conversation in Sukkah. They think it means you put it on the roof. And then they said, that's ridiculous. Why don't you put a lulav on a roof? What's stupid about putting a lulav on a roof? What? No, you get a ladder and bring it down. Why would you never put your lulav on the roof? It dries out. It's a sign. They say, really, option sir? They say, rather, tani al gava itzba. The lulav they would put on the branch under the roof to be protected. So that's an interesting question. Why does it say in Sukkah that it's a double stav? That's a good. Oh, now I hear your kasha. There it may be just a tangent. Okay, I might have to admit there it's a tangent. If you'll say, if there it's a tangent, maybe there it's a tangent, I'll say, okay, sorry for him, but I still think I'm right here because it makes sense. Yes.
This is talking about not. Still refers to MRS as top. It doesn't talk about the extension.
He's referring to the pre-Herodian stoa?
The Mishnah is that, right?
I don't know. All right, Yishlai, what does the Mishnah say? He's not quoting Mishnahis. I don't know. Okay, Tzarki, I'm not sure you have to show me what it says in Mishnah. I don't know if it says anything in Mishnah. I don't know if there was a stone before Burgess. But you have to look and find out. Okay, fine. Let's go. Psulos. Amai Psulos. Let's get to the halacha. We'll get a little architecture. Now let's get to what this. Amai Psulos. There are two chalos todo psulos. Why were there chalos todo psulos? If the Kohanim reason, generally we didn't let things be possible. Place of Mikdash. So how could every year they count on having chalos todo psulos? So Amar Chanina Mitoch, first answer is Chanina Mitoch, Shaiva Rubos, Nifsalos, Bolina, because there were so many of them, usually they avoided having any psul based on Mikdash. But because there were so many of them, they got past puzzle through Lina, meaning they couldn't eat enough, and then by the next day, they became puzzle against their will. Now, why were there so many? Don't say it's about Lila Regal, because there was also Lila Regal, she was in Sukkot. No, this is a double whammy. It was a Lila Regal when everyone came, and you had to compress a whole two-week trip into one day, right? The Tanya aim of being Toda B'chag HaMatzos in the Chavit Shabbat. You can't bring Toda B'chag HaMatzos because it has Chavit. Right? Al Chalos Lechem Chavit. Yakriv Karbono Al Zevach Todash Shlomav. Says, of course, the Chavit Shabbat Chavit. Shita obviously kept coming to the Pesach. Amar Rav Rav HaHacham B'Yudal Nuskina. No. The Chiddush of the Brice is even on the 14th you can't bring. Toda, because some are Indian countries of soul. This is the mainstream sheet of the Tanakh. The sheet of all Indian countries of soul really means technically you're not allowed to be makar any carbon in a way that's mima'it the zman achiloso. You're not allowed to be makar carbon in a way that would have less time to eat than normal, which is why you're not allowed to bring a by Ashkenazi, don't say this of a soda, which 2 weekdays? Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Pesach, which is Erev Kippur's out before Shishas, but that's our minhag. Why? Because on those 2 days, you're not allowed to bring a korban toda because you're been ma'at zman achiloso on Erev Pesach. You're only allowed to eat it, according to most shitas, until the 5th hour. On Yom Kippur, you're only allowed to eat it until nightfall, then it's a fast day. And it's usher bring a korban in a way that will have less time to eat because that's called mevi'in leveis hapsul. You cause it to be pasul. And here we apply this halach a little technically. Like, we don't have someone sit in judgment and run the statistics and say, what's the best way to maximize the odds of eating an X percent should bring now and X percent should be later. We just make it a low plug. A day when you have the full amount of time to eat, you're allowed to bring carbonos. even if statistically you might have trouble eating it. A day when you don't have the full amount of time to eat, you can't bring karbanos, even if a few people can get away with it. Okay, that's a local commitment. So you're not allowed to bring it on your dalet. So, meaning if you'd be allowed to bring it on your dalet, then everyone would bring it on your dalet, and there'd be no psulos. Because they would still be trying to eat them. But everyone is bringing it on the 13th, meaning whatever they would bring on the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st. They have to bring it on one day. Utoshi rules of souls belina. Okay, there's so many, they get hassle. So that's the first answer. It's Rabbi Hanina's answer as to why they become puzzle. Okay, very reasonable. But we should have a couple of different shots.
Could I ask some? It's all very nice and homiletically, Mayor, it's nice to have loaves of chometz, but how big were they were and how high? Why couldn't they do it with flags or something high? What was the point?
Why couldn't they do it with flags? Interestingly, meaning on Yudalar and Aleph, we'll see a sheet that they did do it with something closer to flags. But why would they do it dafka with Kalos Tonda? Again, forgetting a certain Rishash that we'll see. I think the simple shot is because it was a better simit, because they were chametz. Meaning, if the simit they serve chametz, to use a flag, not everyone might chop what the flag is for. I know you'll tell everyone, et cetera, and how dumb could people be, but you know what? A, some people are dumb, and B, even smart people sometimes are absent-minded, they forget, et cetera. So I think the answer is pashut. They used these chalos tovah because they are chametz, and if you see the chametz, you think of chametz. If you see a flag, you might not remember to think of chametz. So I think that's just common sense.
One of the things you had on the Makorot says they were matzah, they weren't chametz.
I know, that's the rishash. I said, except for the Rishash. According to the Rishash, maybe you could be Nidchak and say, bread, you think of bread. But I admit that, you know, it's easier for everyone except for the Rishash, which is maybe why everyone else didn't say like the Rishash. You know, you want to know why didn't everyone say like the Rishash? You have a good answer later on. The answer is maybe because it's a better semen to have chametz for chametz than to have matzah for. Okay, but even the Rishash might say bread for bread is better than flags for bread. Or maybe there's another answer that I'm not thinking of. Okay, Agav, Rabbi Yadai argues and says, Sheiros Hayu, they're kosher, the Ella, my karlu psulos. So why does the Mishnah call it psulos if they're kosher? Shol Nishkal Lemazevach, because they were chalos toda that you never shechted the korban for. And therefore, they're a puzzle because they're chalos toda, lechem toda without a korban is puzzle of the nishchot. So why don't we just shech the zevach and eat them? Sha'avar zevach, we lost the animal. The nice zevach achar v'nishchot. Why don't we bring another korban animal and shech it and use it for the other korban? The amar zutot zulachma, because the guy first says makshi, says this is the korban toda, this is lachma, this is the lechem, this korban toda, which means he pledged to use this lechem for this animal and he can't use it for another animal. Kidirava, the marava, of it, a lechem, maybe lechem achar. Of the Toda, you may be Toda Harris. If you say Zutoda is a lachma, you lose the lechem, you bring another lechem. But if you lose the animal, you can't bring another animal and use this lechem. This lechem is going to be garbage, as it were. Why? My lechem. The lechem is accompanying the Toda. The lechem is tuffled to the Toda. The Toda is not tuffled to the lechem. So therefore, if you lose the lechem, you still have the ikker, so you can bring new lechem. But if you lose the Toda, you lost the ikker. Now you have a tuffle without an ikker. And if you said Zutoda Zulachma, you have a tuffle without an ikker, and this tuffle cannot be transferred to another ikker, and it's just as possible. We'll stop for now. Really, what Rabbi Yane meant is not that you never shechted the carbon. If you never shechted the carbon, there would still be a solution. You couldn't use this lechem toda with another carbon, but you could just throw them onto money and eat them. So why would we waste them by putting them on the roof and burning them? So the answer is really the zevach was shechted, but you spilled the dam before zrika, and now this zevach is irrevocably puzzle. The lechem goes with it is also irrevocably puzzle. Okay, so that's machlokes. Rav Hanina says it was what we call nosar, right? It was left over from yesterday. And Rav Hanina said, Rav Yane, they said no, it was nishbach hadam. It's not clear what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is between Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yanai. Like, Why did they each have their own shita is a little unclear. Like, is it that Rav Hanina had a problem for Rav Yana's shita? Or Rav Yana had a problem for Rav Hanina's shita? Or both? Right? Not 100% clear. Or they were just not making suggestions. Right? Maybe neither had a problem. Anyway, if you look at the farshim here, it's not so clear. You could have said, they just had different ideas. Rashi implies in a few places that it's a zilzal to put kosher ones up on top of the up on top of the roof. Rashi says that the line we just stopped at, that what happens if you spill the dam? To Uber to Russell be the base straight for. What's the din of a lechem toda that you shefted the carbon and spilled the blood? To Uber to Russell be the base straight for. You have to leave it overnight and then burn it the next day. So Rashi says, what's Rav Yana is chiddush? Vafilo hachim is alzina behu biyamru hasam. Even though it's not totally possible until the next day, that's why it's kosher possible. It's possible that it's irrevocably stuck because you already shefted the animal on it and spilled the blood. But it's not, it's kosher because it's only Igor Tsuri. You have to wait till the next day. It's not totally possible till the next day. Therefore, it's like an in-between psalm. And the Chiddush Rav Yana is that it's still much of the mezalzel and put it on the roof. What Rashi would imply is that Rabbi Hanina would disagree and say it's us being mezalzel and put it on the roof. So, you know, would they argue? Versus Rabbi Yana, Rashi clearly sounds like Rabbi Hanina would reject Rabbi Yana. Why? Because Aser Lezalzel Bekachim Shelo Nifsalu Legamri. They're not totally possible. And therefore, it's Aser Lezalzel to put them on the roof if they're not totally possible. Because really, they're just in limbo. Meaning, nothing bad happened to these Lachmei Toda. They're just stuck because they're glued to a Zevach, and that Zevach's blood was spilled, and therefore they will never get anywhere. Right? Like, they're just in a dead end. They didn't get possible yet until you leave them overnight, but they're in a dead end and have no hope of being caught. So they're in between. So maybe Rav Yana holds, if they're in between possible, it's Motu Lezalzel Bahem. Rav Hanina would hold, I'm going to die. Rav says, the Chiddush Rav Yana is that it's Motu Lezalzel, even though they're not possible to God. That implies Rav Hanina would disagree. So basically, he's saying that Rav Hanina is the Machmir. According to Rashi, right, Rav Hanina is the Machmir. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. The Maruch Halev, I'll just point out, says the opposite. Okay, that might be your main point. We're just reading Pashup Shah. He sounds like, no, not sounds like, he says explicitly. He says Rav Yana is the Machmir. It's not that Rav Hanina has a problem with Rav Yana's Pshat. It's Rav Yana is a problem for Rav Hanina's Pshat. Oh, what does Rav Yana have against Rav Hanina's Pshat? The exact same point. Rav Yana's case in Nishbach Adam, you're supposed to wait overnight and burn it tomorrow. Rav Hanina's case, you're supposed to burn it right away, because it's already tomorrow. Right? So, the Rav Yana disagrees with Rav Hanina. According to Rav Hanina, you're supposed to burn it right away. How can you delay burning it and putting it on the roof? You have to burn it right away. And that's the chumrah, right? Meaning, according to him, Rav Yana rejects Rav Hanina because it's aser l'shachos sreifa. So Rav Yana says, my case, you're not allowed, you have to wait until tomorrow to burn it anyway. So you can put it on the roof. Your case, you're supposed to burn it right away. You're not allowed to delay burning it. Why are you not allowed to delay burning it? He says, because it's hakol. The Torah tells you to burn kachim psulim so you don't accidentally eat them. So it's aser delay burning because it could be someone will accidentally eat it. Okay. So theoretically, I know if you want to think logically, you could say there are four possible pshatim between them. Either Rashi's right, and Rav Hanina's machmir, and says Rav Yana's pshat is aser, or Baruch Halev's right, Rav Yana's machmir says Rav Hanina's pshat is aser, or they're both right, and each amora says the other pshat is aser, or neither of them is right, and each amora admits to the other amora. They're just coming up with interesting ideas. Okay, but these are the two basic pshat.
I get the second thing you said, but for Rav Hanina, didn't you just say you can't bring on 14 regardless?
Okay, you're asking Tosfos Kasha and all the Rishonim's Kasha in Dibur HaMaschil Ella, which is, what exactly is the case of Rabbi Yana? The case where
good point. Correct. Meaning that has to do with the big buffalo you showed me. If we assume, like, shot of the Gemara, that's a good point there, Rabbi Yana. I didn't want to get into this yet. I was going to see this for. But if you assume, like, shot of the Gemara, that Rabbi Yana holds that you bring a carbon toda on the 14th, then it's obviously for a reason. He says you're not allowed to bring a carbon toda on the 14th. It sounds like Rabbi Yana allows you to bring a carbon toda on the 14th, right? that's what Tosis says. And Tosis gives other answers also. You're right, Tosis gives other answers also. I guess Tosis gives two other answers, right? What else can you say? What does Tosis say? That Rav Yana rejects Rav Hanina, not a Korban Kula, he just thinks it's a Dachot Kokimta. Right? Okay. Meaning, what does Tosis say? Rav Yana rejects Rav Hanina in Metzius, not halacha. It's just dafok to assume that a karban would be left uneaten. So the truth is that we have here hakira. Why does Rabbi Yana reject from Hanina? Is it because he doesn't hold from his halacha? He holds halacha's wrong? Or just from Metzius, he holds no kipta's wrong? And likewise, you have a question why Rabbi Hanina rejects Rabbi Yana, which would then depend on an issue which we're going to have to explore further. Even though I said we get to the mission, we'll get to the mission, but we'll have in some more about this after the Mechina. excuse me. That's not what Tosos says, but you could say, right, this is against Tosos, but you could say, right, let me just give a name for this. And then we'll say we will come back to it in a moment. Sorry, give me half a second. Perhaps. Okay. Maybe we'll come back to this. Let's call it a perhaps for now. Maybe you could say, you could also say that in Tinsaloma, the law of Kitosos, Ibra Mastro Ella. The Rabbi Yanai, the Matir Havas Toda, the Yodalit, and it's Pasha Rabbi Hanina in this reason, because he holds it's also Rabbi Yodalit, Yodalit. But we haven't really discussed that yet. By Toda, the Yodalit, as Pasha, the Rabbi Hanina, Machir, the Savar, the Asur, Lahavi Toda. Dalit. If it's not clear what Rabbi Yana says, Nishmah Adam, is he talking about the 13th or the 14th? Okay, that's very unclear. We're going to spend some time on that. If he means the 13th, then it's obviously where Hanina agrees. Okay, so let's say we have two ways of understanding where Hanina would disagree with Rabbi Yana, two ways of understanding where Rabbi Yana would disagree with Hanina. Either Rabbi Yana holds you can bring Toda on the 13th, Hanina, we already know, holds that's not true, or Rabbi Yana holds you can bring the Salza was a semi soul, and Rabbi Hanina holds it's not true. And why does Rav Yana not like Rav Hanina? Either, assuming he doesn't, either because Rav Hanina holds you can delay burning leftover kachin and Rav Yana disagrees, or because Rav Hanina thinks that things always get left over, Rav Yana is done more l'chafs plus and says, no, he's been at the Pesach hotels. And he knows that Jews can eat unlimited amounts and nothing ever gets left over. Okay, let us just go a little weiter then. sorry. Here we get to the tricky part. The Gemara asked, "Ukeman k'Rebbe, the Amar Rebbe shnei dvarim tirin malin zeh below zeh." The Tanya kipsi atzersim kach shalem lo b'shkita kita shavu shvam zardom shvam
Kiddush Alechem Shachrim Shloshim Vardam Shloshim Kiddush Alechem Shachrim Shloshim Vardam Shloshim Lechem Kadosh Shemim Kadosh Divrei Rebbe. The laws of Rishon are really only Kadosh Alechem when she gets to this one because of Kadosh Shemim. So what do we say? What we're trying to figure out how you can have Rabbi Yanai's Shiros Bapsulos. Let's remember what makes them Shiros Bapsulos. They're kosher in that no psul happened to the lechem, but they are psul because the lechem already got glued to the animal. And once you spill the blood of the animal, you can never master the animal. Once you can never master the animal, so you can never master the lechem. Right? So the lechem has no psul on it yet, but is in the dead end because it's glued to this animal. This animal will become psul because there's no dam to be zorik. But what does that mean? That means that you can't be poed to the lechem. So if you can be poed to the lechem, then just be poed to it. And why waste it by putting it on the roof and burning it? So who said you can't be poed to the lechem? This seems to be only according to Rebbe and not Rulaz of Rav Shimon. Because in the Machlok is that parallel case, Kimsei Atzeres. Why are Kimsei Atzeres parallel too? Lechem to toda. So toda is an animal that goes together with bread, the lechem toda. And the kibsei atzeres, okay, you have a diyoma, right? It's already the diyoma yuchas leading up to Shavuos. The kibsei atzeres are the two kvasim that are shlamim. They're the only shlamim nowadays that are kachim kachim. And they're the only shlomim brought by the tzibur. That's in the morning in the Seder when you say Zimche Shalmi Tzibur Vashamos, Elohim Hashamos, Elohim Koman. The Zimche Shalmi Tzibur means the two kvasim that you bring on Shavuos with the Shtei Alechem. So they also, they basically, how did the Shtei Alechem come Kadosh? Kedush Shatwuf, let's say, right? There's Kedushas Domin, Kedushas Domin. How does something come Kedushas Domin? You just say, I pledge this, I'm giving this to the Beis HaMikdash. How does something become like Kedusha Guf, a korban that is not just property of the Beis HaMikdash, but has all the dinim of a korban? So that's a good question. So the answer is that the lechem is kadosh through the avodah of the zevach. Right? And in Menachos, they actually darshan the psukim, how Rebbe gets a shita, which avodah is mekadesh. Right, because Rebbe says the zricha, the shchita is mekadesh, she darshes the pasuk, and Rebbe Elazar Shimon says no, it's only the zricha that's mekadesh, she darshes that. That's the pasuk. But the assumption is that the way in which the avoda of the kvasit is mekadesh the shtei alechem on Shavuos is the same as the way in which the avoda of the toda is mekadesh the lachmi toda, and mekadesh means there's no longer subject to pigyon. Right, that's what it means that once it becomes a karba, not just kedushas domin. As soon as I pledge it, the basic interest of Kedusha's Domin, the Nachmina Kedusha's Domin is Isser Ve'ila. I'm not allowed to steal it, I'm not allowed to use it. That's subject to Pidyon. What gives it the Kedusha Guf or Kedusha's Karban that makes it no longer subject to Pidyon? The Avoda of the animal, of the Zeva. So we see a Machlokas that Rebbe says it's the Shechita that's Mekadish. And therefore, if you shech the Kibsi Atzeres Lishman, and do Zrika Lashma, the lechem is Kadosh. If you shech the Shalom Lashma and do Zrika Shalom Lashma, sure, you're not Yotze Yikivsei Atzeres, it's not a problem, Yotze Atzeres, the lechem is not Kadosh. And what if you shech the Lashma, Lashman, shech them Lashman, and Zorik Shalom Lashma, the lechem is Kadosh, even though it's not fully proper, right? But the lechem is Kadosh because you did a proper Shechita. So even if you messed up the Zrika, the lechem is still Kadosh. Right? And the assumption is that one way or the other, it can't be nifteh. It's already not bar pidyon. It's already kedusha guf, kedusha karban. It can't be nifteh. So Rebbe said the shechita makes it fully kadosh, and then it can't be nifteh anymore. Okay, if you then do a proper zrika, then it's kasher v'yasher. If you then don't do a proper zrika, then it's kadosh, but it's not fully proper. And which the Gemara talks about, either it's not at the highest level kedusha or it's kadosh, but it's not kasher. That's Rebbe. And then our Gemara makes sense. If you shechted the toda and then accidentally spilled the dam, if you shechted the toda and accidentally spilled the dam, then the bread was already kadosh, and you can't be poda, and that's why it's useless, and you can put it on the roof of the stomach. But according to Elazar Shimon, he says it has no kedusha at all unless you do a proper shkita and the proper shkita. Meaning after shkita, the lechem is not kadosh at all. You can still, it's kedushas damim. So it belongs to the hamikdash. You can't commit sacrilege, which is English for me'ilah. You can use it for your own secular purposes. But it can still be nifta, right? It's only after shkita it can be nifta. So for Elazar Shimon, we're still stuck. How does Rabbi Yana make sense? If you spill the blood before shkita and there's no shkita, then the lechem can still be nifta. So why would you put it on the roof? There's no case. After Zrika, it would be totally kosher. And until Zrika, it would be redeemable. So when, no case where you put it on the roof. So the more answers, Afilo Tamer Elazar Rishimon, Hacham Mayaskina, Goshen Eskabel Adam Bekos. Ah, this was after Shkita, but it didn't get spilled right into the Shkita. Not like you shechted and then it spilled from the animal's neck onto the ground. You had a proper Kabbalah, right? We know that there are four avodas you have to do with the dam to make a carbon kosher. Shkita, then Kabbalah, you have to catch the dam in 18 sharis. Then Olacha, you have to bring the dam, walk the dam to the Mizbeach. And then Zrika, you have to pour the dam on the Mizbeach. Once it's Niskagel Lekos, it's now Roi Lezrika, right? Roi Le means there's it's the next step. Once you have it in the Kos, in the sharis, now it's Roi Lezrika. So what's the case here? It didn't spill straight from the animal's neck. You caught it, you recobbled it in a coast properly, and then you tripped and spilled the coast. But once it was in the coast, it was right as Rika. And Elazar Shimon, son of the Kavua, goes like his father. Reb Shimon has a famous sheet all over Shaft, article, Omid Lizro Kazar dummy. Reb Shimon's actual sheet is even broader than that. It's called Omid Lib X, get X dummy, right? Whatever's Omid for something is if it's already happened. So therefore, the case is it was Omid Lizrika. If it's Omid Lizrika, it's as if it's Zarek. And therefore, even Elazar Shimon would admit that it has kedusha, it's not redeemable because this counts as Rika, so that's only this Rika. okay, end of Rabbi Yai. Here, Tosus asks a few interesting, let's look at one very fascinating question about this kula only this Rika's over coming. You know what, Leon? I'm going to apologize. Take this again and then I'll talk to you. What's the principle here? The principle here is right? If he just shechted, that's an omid lizor. He's not ready for shrika. It's missing Kabbalah. Two steps away, he's not called omid kach. Omid kach means it's the next step. After Kabbalah, it's omid lizrika. The next step is shrika. So Tosos asks, "Dibra maskal kol omid lizor kazarik dummy." What does Tosos ask? "Beim tomar zorak daman shelo lishman." Name a nami kazar dummy. Remember, Elazar Shimon, now, according to what we said, the summer lekavua, the kula omeg lex kex dummy, is now sosur himself. Let's see what he says. Or, meaning what he says according to what the Gemara, the words the Gemara puts in his mouth. The Gemara puts in his head. Tosus asks the following stira. Let's take this case, right? So, Nishkat v'kivel dam v'kos v'nishpach hadam. Nishkat kivel dam v'kos v'nishpach hadam. What's the din? Kolomoy v'nizro k'zor dami, and it's mekadish the lechem. And the lechem is not irredeemable. It's also inedible. It didn't do his rika. So it's inedible, but irredeemable. But haven't yet kind of sold in it. It's inedible because you'll never have Shrika's down with the animal. It's irredeemable because it already had only the Zerk's Zerk dummy. But the dam itself never had psul in it. Only the animal had psul in it. Which is why it's Sheros slash Psulos, which is the Shrika Rabbi Yanai. What does he say? He says that Kizarek dummy and the lechem is kadosh.
This is according to the second we wrote, Elazar Rabbi Shimon, or this is
according to Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Only where Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Only where Elazar Rabbi Shimon now. All right, all according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. I don't care about Rabbi right now. Tosas kashes. Hold on a second. Whatever Elazar Rabbi Shimon himself says, Zorak Dom and Lishma, Shachat Lishman. Shachal Mishman. And obviously, simple shot is Zarchel Lashman, but meaning Kigaldam Lashman, right? Shachar Lashman, brackets means it's obviously said the Kigaldam Lashman. This Zarak Shalo Lashman. What do we say? The Lechem is not Kaddish. Meaning it's not Kazar Dami. But why isn't it Kazar Dami? If you spill the blood, you say the Lechem is already Kaddish to Kazar Dami. Then if you do Zerika, the blood improperly, it should also be Kazar Dami. Right? Meaning, love Kazar Dami. But this is a little weird. Why is this weird? Compare these two cases. The guy shefted the carbon, caught the dam in a kisharis, started walking. Either it's kazar dummy or it's not. If it's kazar dummy, then even if he then does rika shalol shema, it's a rika kazar dummy. The lechem's kadosh. If it's not kazar dummy, then if he spills it, the lechem shouldn't be kadosh. But like, you have to decide now if it's kazar dummy or not. And we have a stira. On the one hand, if in the end he spills it, it's kazar dummy. If in the end he does rika shalol shema, it's not kazar dummy. So an omdin might be going a little far, but one is supposed to have to say that an undoes it, says Tosfos. The Yishlomar came into Akra and meet Lishman, Gura mi Nishmachadam. No, the Sri Kishol Lishman is worse than Nishmachadam. The Gloy Milsa, the Lohabi Kazar Mishas Kabbalah, Gloy Milsa, that meaning it was Kazar Dummy. If you spill it, it's not Kazar Dummy. But if you use Sri Kishol Lishman, Gloy Milsa, then it wasn't Kazar Dummy. That's Tosfos' answer. Okay, that's what, out of the four answers in the Bali Tosfos that are on this page, three of the answers agree to this. Right? So what does Tosfos say? What is Tosfos' assumption? The assumption is this. What's Pshan Kazorik Dami? What's Pshan Kazorik Dami is that we really view the future. It doesn't mean Roy Lizrope is good enough. If Roy Lizrope was good enough, then it would be Kazar. It's Roy Lizrope, regardless of what happens in the future. Rather, what it means is Lachbar. In Kolomim, Lizrope Kazar Dami. The old Kech Akira, right? You know the old Kech Akira? Is it that Roy Lizrope Kazar Dami means you don't really need Zarek? Roy Lizrope is enough? Or does it mean, no. We actually see it as if the future's Rika happens. So Tosos is taking the latter, the second side of that Hakira. It's not that Roy Lizrope is good enough. It's that we actually see the future's Rika coming back. I think that's what Tosos means. And if so, what? So if there's no future's Rika, if you spill it, say, we see the future's Rika coming back. It never happened, but we still saw it coming back. But if you do a future's Rika, Shalol Lashma, then we say, of course it was Kazar Dami. But it was Kazar Shalol Igloy Milsa, it was Kazar Shalol Lashma Dami. If you actually do the Zrika, and the Zrika is Bipsol, then sure Igloy Milsa that it was Kazar Dami. But like what kind of Zarek? Like the Zrika Shalol Lashma. So Igloy Milsa was Kazar Shalol Lashma Dami, and it's Kazar Shalol Lashma Dami. It's not Mekadesh the Lechem. That's what Tosfos wants to say. That if you don't do any Zrika, then why don't we push back in time the theoretical Zrika you should have done? But if you do a Zrika, then we know what it was all made for. So that's what Tosfos says. What does Tosfos say? I'm putting it in my words. Says Tosfos, Igloi Milsa de Amad Lizrika Psula. Right? If you never do a Zrika, then Igloi Milsa, it was all made for a good Zrika. It just spilled. But if you do a Zrika Psula, Igloi Milsa, then it was all made for a Pasul Zrika. Now, Tos has a problem. The Kashin, Perham Nachla Nesachin, Omar, Pigel, Bezrika, Vatame, Thomas Oakland, the Rav Shimon. Mishon, the Chotover, Omeid Lizro, Kazar Dami. It says the Furish in Menachos, Nafkov Beis, if you had Machshavas Pigel. Machshavas Pigel means, if you remember from Rashi Yachomish, that when I do one of the Avodos, such as Zrika, I have in mind to eat it past the allotted time for eating the karmah. And that makes it possible. If I have Machshavas Pigel in Zrika, Rav Shimon says the karmah is still Matame Thomas Oakland. We should call only Lizro Kazar Dami. Rav Shimon holds a lot of shitas here. He holds that only mutter food is metamei tumas olchin. But whatever had a shas hakosher is metamei tumas olchin. Whatever food is mutter once is metamei tumas olchin. Whatever is roi lachila once is metamei tumas olchin. And since he says kulam lizur kazar dummy, even before zrika carbon is metamei tumas olchin. Once you have kabbalah. A carbon of metami tomas oakland because it's called omit lizard gazar dummy. He's from Shimon. That's a shita. So it's zifit zarek. If it's a zifit zarek, then it's as if it's animal. If it's as if it's edible, it's metami tomas oakland forever. Even if you do the zrika of the pickle, but that's a stira to what we just said now. Because what's the stira? Shachat the kibel the kashrus. Upigel bizrika. Says Rabbi Shimon, right? This is still trying to figure out the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Says Rabbi Shimon, he says very explicitly. Kazorik dummy. He says, no, before you did the pickle, it was Kazorik dummy. And therefore, Metamei Tumas Ochlin. Okay, but that's against what you just said. So according to Tosfos' answer, you should say, Igloi Milsol Freya, that it was only the Zrikas Pigle. And if it was only the Zrikas Pigle, then it was not Kazorik Dami. Then it was not Royal Achimah. So it shouldn't be Metamei Tumas Ochlin. So now Tosfos says, and it's Dachim say the Dibni Nimsol of Pigle Nimsol Shalom Lishma. So what does Tosfos say at the end? Be Ishlomer, what's the answer? First of all, there are four answers to Bali Tosos. One in our Tosos, one in Tosos Peter Peretz, and two in Tosos and Menachos. The second answer in Tosos and Menachos denies the whole premise of the question. Second answer in Tosos and Menachos denies the premise of the question by reinterpreting the Brisa of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Okay, how do we deny the premise of the question? Figure out a better way to put this on the board. I apologize. This is going to be some very serious longness, but we're just going to make proper room for another board. Serious longness requires serious urban planning. The first case is our Gemara, right? What does our Gemara say? It says, Nishchat. V'niskabel hadam, v'nishpach hadam, right? What does it say? It says that the lechem is kadosh because omed lizrok kizarik dummy. So even though you never did drika, since it was omed lizrok, the lechem is kadosh. Second case Tosfos brings up is the Brisa, which is Nishkat Lishma. Nishkat Lishma. Nishkatu Lishma. Right? The Nizrak Daman Shalom Lishma. What's the halacha? The halacha is the lechem is not kadosh. Even though, Achalpi Shahaya Omeid Nisrok. And what's the third case Tosfos brings up is the other Gemara Menachos, which is Nishchat Bekashrus, Benizrak Bimachsheves Pigol. What do we paskin? We paskin that it's metame tumas ochlin. It's considered a proper ochel because omed lizrok kizaruk dummy. These are the facts. How do you answer up this stira? After all, in our Gemara and the Menachos Daf Kuf Beis, we say that omed lizrok is kizaruk, but not in the price in our Gemara, even though it's only Lizrok. If you Zorik Shlomashma, it is not Kazar Dummy, Lamafreya. But in this case, Lamafreya is Kazar Dummy. So, first of all, what does Tosas in Menachos in his second answer do? He denies the premise. He takes it all the fun. Right? Let's first get out of the way Tosfos in Menachos in his second Tirutz. Right? How does he introduce the second Tirutz? He probably says, like, Inami or something. Inami. Right? What does he change in the Inami? He doesn't say any Svaras. He just changes the facts. What fact does he change? No, that's the first answer. Exactly. He just changes the fact. He says he reinterprets the Braisa. When the Braisa says Zara Damashol Shlan, you know what it means? It means you made it right as Rikim Shlom Lashvan. Meaning you're Makabal Shlom Lashvan. As Kibel Shlom Lashvan. You reinterpret that Braisa. That Braisa means Kibel Shlom Lashvan. But Lu Yitzuryar, it was Kibel Lashmo, the Zarek Shlom Lashmo. We'd say, call only Lizard Bizarre, Dominion Rikadosh, right? But if he was Mekabel Lishmo, Vizorig Shalom Lishmo, then the Lechem would be Kadosh because Omed Lizrok Kizorok Dami. Basically, he says there's no Spira. We all misunderstood the Brisa. The Brisa, where Lazar Shimon says, Shachat Lishmat, the Zarak Shalom Lishmat, Lokidish Alechem, the Olamed Kodesh Alechmat, Chi Yishkor Ad Lishmat, the Yizrok Dama Lishmat, he doesn't actually literally mean Yizrok Dama Lishmat. He really means Yikabel Dama Lishmat. So why does he call it Yizrok? Because the Yikabel is being in Royal Lizrok. And he uses the word Lizrok, he means Royal Lizrok, he means Makabel. So basically, he changes it, he says, only requires Kabbalah Lishmat. In a Hanami, if it's Riga Shlom Lishmat, then there'd be no stira. For them, there's no stira at all. All you have to do is reinterpret one of the three facts, and there's no stira. In every case where there's a Kabbalah, Kabbalah lives with a Zark dummy, and it's considered Zark. Whether it was a Kabbalah Nishmach Adam, or Kabbalah and Zark Shlom Lishmat, or Kabbalah and Zark Pigal, it's considered a Zark dummy. He didn't look like he was saying in the Brisa. Okay, you misunderstood. You didn't realize you had to reinterpret the Brisa. But that's not any of the other answers to Tosfos. What does our Tosfos say? Tosfos the Pesachim says it really is a stira. And basically, all the other answers, let's go to all the other answers. All the other answers are based on the same general mahalach. Right? All the other Tirutzim are based on the same general mahalach. Over here, number one, if there's no Zrika in the end, then that's Kizar Dami. That's easy. What about case number two? Case number two, like Toso says, Iglai Milsa De. It's Iglai Milsa, right? Because there's no Iglai Milsa. In this case, you never did a Zrika. So you can't say Igloi Milsa was only for this kind of Zrika or that kind of Zrika. You never did a Zrika. In this case, Igloi Milsa Shaya Omeid Lizrika Psula. Okay, so far, so good for Tosas. Number one, there's no Igloi Milsa, because it was never disrupted. Number two, you say Igloi Milsa is only Lizrika Psula. But how about number three? Number three, we don't say Igloi Milsa, obviously. The question is, we don't think Igloi Milsa shall you only Lizrika's people. Question is, why? Why, number two, do you say Igloi Milsa and only Lizrika Psula? We don't say Igloi Milsa shall you only Lizrika Psula, and it was never wrong. Okay, that's the stira for Tosos. All the other answers, they admit there's a stira. And they can answer the stira if they wanted to. They just don't know how to answer. They have a problem with
the steerers in 2 and 3. And that's what all the other 3 days of Bali Tulsa is trying to answer. How do you answer up this stira? Tulsa's, of course, gives you a hint to what you might have said if he doesn't like. It's a difference he kegel and shalom l'shma. But that's not what Artosa says. What is Artosa like? Say, Shlomo, you got a goofy zeb of Koshi Gazorach, Afmish of Hidomus Rika, Violia Dwarmax, Kachima zeb of Golechel, Koshi Gazorach, and Asis Rika Shlomo Hatcher. So, okay, what does Artosa say? Chaim, if you can't see the green, tell me. It's just that the green is a lot stronger. Right, so this is.
Green is fine.
It's okay. The green is fine.
Here's B, right? This is B, C, and D. All start the same way. What does our Tosos say? Tosos on the daf from Psachim. How does he answer the stira? He says there's a difference. This Gemara is trying to figure out whether the meat is metametumas ochlin. The animal, the carbon itself is metametumas ochlin. It's trying to figure out whether to say, well, only lizard is dark doming for the thing itself. But our Gemara is trying to figure out the sacral omen lizard kazar dummy, not for the animal itself, but for the lechem, for something else, for another object. It says, tells us that you don't say igloi milsa le'inyan hazevach atzmo, but you do say igloi milsa le'enyen kiddush halechem. You don't say glay milsa for the zevach itself, but you do say glay milsa for kiddush halechem. I mean, the zevach itself, once it's roi lizro, it's roi lizro. You don't go back and say glay milsa is roi for apostles rika. But to be attached to lechem, you go back and say glay milsa is roi for apostles rika. Okay, Tosas has made a filling. He didn't explain the svara behind the filling, right? So what? Who cares? He didn't. So it says, and don't say, oh, you say gloy milsa by l'shma, shalom l'shma, but not by kegel. Why? It's the ghost fire. Rather, you say gloy milsa l'inyan dabar acher, but not l'inyan gofa dabar. Okay, what's the svara? He doesn't say. L'chor, I think you have to say the svara. I think you have to say, based on a hakira mentioned earlier, kolomid lizur kazar. It's a big hakira kolomid lizur kazar. Again, the kid hakira. Does it mean Kol Omid Lizrok is good enough because Omid Lizrok is enough? Or does it mean it's mamish? We see the future Zrika as happening. Right? So I think what Tosas is saying here is they're both right. Depends Lingyan Gufa Zevach or Lingyan Dover Akir. What is Tosas? He's saying, like at Svei Dinim in a class of Shibish Hakira about Kol Omid Lizrok is already done. The old Kech Hakira. What is Tosas saying? What he's saying is that le'inyan whether it's metamik to us ochlin, you don't need zrika to be metamik to us ochlin. You don't need something to be fully done to be metamik to us ochlin. You just need it to be ra'oy le'achil. To be metamik to us ochlin, all you need is ra'oy le'kach. You don't need to see it as if it's already mutter. Because after all, what makes something, if you think about it, what makes something here, I'm adding a little, what makes something the kabbal toma of a certain category? What makes something a kli, or a moshav, or a mishkav, or an ochel? Simple pshat is because it's intended for that purpose, right? Something's only the kabbal toma of mishkav, or moshav, it's intended for sitting on. Something's only a kli if you intend to use it. It's set aside for using. So something's only the kabbal toma of ochel if it's set aside for eating. It says for a shimon, well, if it's us, you can't set aside for eating. But you know what? If it's about to be mutter, then that's already called set aside for eating. It's about to be mutter, it's good enough. Meaning, what I'm claiming is that the inyan, the dover atzmo, the zevach atzmo is called ro'i la'achila if it's even just potentially, if it's even just potentially edible. And you know what? It was potentially edible before you messed up. Is that the matter hasn't been chal, but you don't need the matter to be chal to be a tamatumas ochlin. You just need it to be roi lahatir. But I'm saying it's like one step away from edibility is good enough. Meaning, you literally just need omate. Right? The ikar, what I'm saying is the ikar is, what am I saying here? The ikar is just omate, lisrika. Omate lisrika is good enough. You don't really need your zark dummy. Right? That's the kid. It's not that omate lisrika is zark. It's that all you need is omate lisrika. It's not so important if it's actually zark or not actually zark. Okay. That is the Thomas Oakland bit itself. But La'inyan to be Kaddish Lechem, to make a halos on something else, to say this item is a food, it's enough that it's about to be edible. It has to already be a food, but if it's already a food, it's about to be edible, that's good enough. But to say it's Kaddish Lechem, it's not enough it's about to be a proper carbine. It has to be a proper carbine. What I'm claiming is on this side, the ikar is Kizorik dump. It's not that we lower the standard and say, oh my, lisrika is good enough. No, it needs to be zorik. We just raise the reality and say, even though it's not zorik, we view it, if we're Rav Shimon Nicks, as if it is zorik. Right? Ikar is kizorik dummy. What are we trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that it is only mekadesh the lechem if it's zorik. But we anticipate and call it Zorok early. Two different ways of knowing the Zorok. The Zorok dummy, the Indomer itself, as long as Omei Lepafta, it's good enough. Hey, you can't call it a non-food if it's Omei to be eaten. Just needs one little thing and then you're going to eat it. But Lein Fikash the Lechem, it's not good enough that it's close. It has to actually be Zorok. Just the Chiddush of Shimon is, even though it's not Zorik, we anticipate it and view it as if it's Zorik. Ah, and then we say, that's subject to Gleidos and Afreya. We viewed it and anticipated it as if it was Zorik. And if it turns out it was Omei for the wrong kind of Zrika, then in Gleidos, we viewed it and anticipated it as if it was Zorik for Puzzle Zrika. And therefore, it was never Mekadish Lech of Old One. That's what I think Shad is in Tosos. That's what I think Shad is in Tosos. Two different ways to call it a Zorik Zorik dummy. For the thing itself, it just has to be only Lepach. But, to be Mekadosh the Lechem, we have to view it as Mamish Zorik. When it's just only Lepach, we don't say Gloy Muslim Afreda. It was still only Lepach B'Shaito. But if we're Mamish viewing it as Zorik, that means we're taking the future and putting it back to the past. That means say Gloy Muslim, no, it was only to the wrong future. And therefore, even in the past, it wasn't really, it was Kizorik, but Kizorik been sold. Tosos would say yes. Tosos would say absolutely. Our Tosos, I'm not saying the other answers. Right? And he would say absolutely, 100 million percent. Right. 100%. 100%.
Rabbi, what's the reason?
I can't hear you.
What's the reason for the chiluk between the Mekadosh, the Zevach Atzmo, and the Lechem?
I wouldn't say Mekadosh, the Zevach Atzmo, and the Lechem even. So here, I might be going a little further than Tosos himself explicitly said. Maybe the chiluk is between the Zevach itself and the Lechem. I mean, the Zevach itself isn't. I'll say it like this. The Zevach itself is the Zevach. We just want to know whether it's also fit for eating. For that, it's enough to just be Omei Lekach. But the Zevach, you actually did the Avoda too. We just want to know the side point because they considered fit for eating. That's good enough to be Omei Lekach. The Lechem was just sitting there minding its own business. You need to do everything in the Lechem based on viewing the Zevach as finished, and therefore, to really make a new Chalos Kedusha, the Lechem, based on nothing to do to itself, just based on the Zevach being finished, it needs to really be finished. For the Zevach, it is its own Chalos. You just need to, you know, you're just wondering if it's considered edible or not. If you consider it edible, you have a lower standard.
That's kind of what I'm trying to get at from Tosos. Again, I'm not saying that, maybe it's very possible you could judge that as well. Tosos sounds like he's distinguishing between the Zevach and the Lechem of what you need and what's Zagim
Kachem. And you're accusing me of trying to, like, turn that into Thomas Oakland versus Kedusha, which And I'm sort of dancing around whether I'm willing to commit myself or not. And you're calling me on that, which is fair. Which is fair. So I admit that, and you're saying that maybe, although I can get out of nafkaminas, but the lechmas was something that's about to commit, which I didn't understand. Fair enough. Okay, so maybe the real chiluk is trying to say is the Thomas Oakland and Kedusha, or maybe a little new to Zevach Atzmal and something else, meaning the Zevach Atzmal le'inyan what, then? Not le'inyan being Kadosh, right? Meaning, that was their very question. Obviously, when she's Shech the Zevach, it's not Marpidyon, et cetera, et cetera. So you know what? I'm even willing to say for now, even though I realize that we can debate the details, that it's a different thing to us Oakland and being Mekadosh Lechem, because otherwise I don't know what else there is in Zevach Atzmal besides Thomas Oakland. But maybe you can say it different ways. Okay, let's just quickly, because there's a few more things we want to discuss, see what other Tosfos remain in Paris, and the first answer Tosfos of Menachos do exactly what our Tosfos told us not to. Obviously, if our Tosfos told us not to, that means, right, man, remember, Tosfos doesn't write in the middle of Tosfos, and don't eat pigs, because no one else in the base members did. He only writes and don't say something when he knows that other Bali Tosfos say it. So, we have the other Bali Tosfos who say it. We have the Tosfos who make a parrots in Pesachim. And we have the Tosfos in Menachos in his first answer, where he did not deny the premise, but answer the question. They're both Bechali, being Pigol and Shelo Lishma, which is certainly obvious. Obviously, it's crying out saying, no, in Pigol we don't say one else of Afreya, but in Shelo Lishma we say one else of Afreya. But what's the meaning of Pigol and Shelo Lishma? As a matter of fact, they're very, very similar. In what way they're very similar? They're the two psulim that are in your mind, in your machshava, right? You get Shelo Lishma means a makriv the shlum and l'shem chata, so l'shem olah. And Pigol means a makriv the l'shem eating it tomorrow or 2 days when I shouldn't eat. They're in Mesechus Zvachim, they're often thrown together and compared. Nonetheless, you have to find a subtle chiluk. So the question is, what's the subtle chiluk and how is it relevant between Pigol and Shelo Lishma? And here, there's two different chaps in the Tosfos Beinu Peretz and in Tosfos in Menachos. Let's start with Tosfos Beinu Peretz right here. It says, Tosfos Beinu Peretz, he says, V'yesh loma deshani pigo. Lefi pigulo umiratze darmin and kartzos kosher ka kartzos pasul shemachim and kazark dami afagablo also sakrin. Okay, I'll tell you what he says, then I'll tell you what I think he means. There's a rule of pigul, it's a funny rule. There's a lot of funny things about pigul. By funny, I mean philosophically and conceptually intriguing. But we're not going to delve into them now. One of the interesting rules of pigul is that pigul is more common than every other psul. Because every other psul carbon, it's usher to eat. Pigol is the only pasul carbon, and nosar, which is obviously related, where if you eat it, your chayv karis. It's like a big psul, right? It's like really bad. I mean, it's not even a psul, it's worse than a psul, right? It's mamish something evil. Again, not the guys with fagel without chayv karis. If you eat it, your chayv karis. The guys with fagel is a lot. It's only pigol if it's brought mekashras. If a zar does the shrika machshavas pigol, or the kohen does the shrika without with only three begotten machshavas pigol, or he does the shrika machshavas pigol and shelo lishmo in a way that passels it, then it's not pigol. It's only pigol if it's rotsui. If you're meratze, you appease Hashem, you bring the kosher carbon except for the pigol. It has to be kosher except for the pigol. Okay, this is one of these fascinating philosophical ideas, right? Meaning, if you just mess everything up, you're out of the ballpark. You're like nothing. If you do everything right but pervert one detail, then that's evil. Then that's pernicious, rather. Right? It's not pernicious to be an assimilated Jew, right? But to do everything exactly, perfect except believe in Jesus, then that's much worse. Unfortunately, the Tzoras Achronas have been shockless shows. But you get the idea. Okay, so the Gemara even goes as far as to say, pigol in a few places is considered ritzoi. If I do pigol, it's considered kashrus. Why? Because pigol's only chal if it's kasher. Oh, but pigol's a psul. So the Gemara has this fascinating conceptual lundish kiddush. Pigol is a psul of kashrus. And that's called karatzos kosher kachatzos pasul. Just like there's a ritzoy kashrus in a kosher carbon, there's kashrus in pigle, because you need kashrus to have pigle. So pigle is a psul, but it's kashrus. Very fascinating conceptual idea. Okay, but Tosfos not making, Tosfos and Parashat not making up that idea. That idea is all over the second spot. And therefore, they say in many ways, like, you know, how do we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you put a foot pigle and worm on the Mizbeach, you don't have to take them down? Ah, because they have some kashrus in them, because they're only puzzled because they're kashrus. That's kashrus. Okay, so what it's supposed to say is saying pigle is different because it has kashrus with its psul. So Lishma doesn't have kashrus with its psul, it's just the psul. If so, what? I think what he means, first let's write what he says. What does he say? He says, no, there is ritzoy lepigulo. That's the phrase that some of the other Mishnah will say, sure, there is ritzoy, there's kashrus in the psul. And pigle, while there's no ritzoy in Shalol Lishman. Okay, I guess we'll copy the different kinds of Shalol Lishman, but let's say there's certainly no special idea of ritzoy in Shalol Lishman. Because Lishman sometimes is a psul, sometimes just a half psul. There's no ritzoy in Shalol Lishman, there's ritzoy in pigle. What does he mean by this? I think that, if I understand correctly, what he means is that by a stam psul we say plain dosa, but pigle is an exception. That's clear to me, pigle the exception, right? Meaning, what does he mean? That the normal rule, the rule is that we say iglo'i milsa by zrika mipsul. If you did Zerika Mipsol, the normal rule is Igloi Melsa. Ah, you thought it was only, we thought it was only Glitzer because our dummy. Igloi Melsa was only Glitzer's Psol, so it wasn't get anything dummy. Except for Pigle, why? Because Pigle's a Psol, but it's also a Kashrus. And therefore, what we say, since Pigle's a Psol and a Kashrus, we can say that Pigle is two things. It's a Kashrus, a Kosher Zerika, and a Psol. But once the kosher zrika and the psul, we can then say, but the etzem, the zrika was kosher. It was just an additional psul. It was a kosher zrika with an additional psul. So you don't have to like also bring back additional psulim, only the basic zrika. There's a basic kosher zrika plus a psul. Omeg lizro kazar dummy. It was omeg for a kosher zrika. It also had a psul, but we're only in the zrika. We don't want to know about other psulim. Like, basically, you view the psul of pigle as added on to kosher zrika. You can't view Shalol Lishma to add on to kosher zrika. That's a pashal zrika. If in the end a zar does zrika, a yoshi does zrika, a mechus begotten does zrika, your zorek, you know, your zorek and lamava, then igloi milsa. It wasn't only for a kosher zrika. Here it was only for a kosher zrika plus pickle. So it was only for kosher zrika. So you can bring that back to Afreya. You don't have to bring the pickle back to Afreya because that's not inherent to this Rika. That's what I'm saying. This is the exception. The exception is, why? Because even Limafreya, it was Omeg Lizrika Kshera. Oh, it's not really Zrika Kshera. No, but Yahalacha is Zrika Kshera. With people. With pigle, which we can ignore Lamafreya. You don't have to take the pigle Lamafreya. You only have to take the zrika Lamafreya. And as long as there's a kosher zrika, you can take the kosher zrika Lamafreya without the pigle Lamafreya. So it was only the kosher zrika. You can't do that with lishma. There wasn't a kosher zrika plus the soul lishma. There was a pasul zrika, because it's not maratza lepigulo. That's what I think Tosfos in Paris means, a big finish. You can sort of, within Zrika, you can say there's a kosher Zrika plus pigle. So the Mafreya was only the kosher Zrika. The fact that you need a pigle is not a problem yet. Tosfos Menachos says, I think, the opposite. In his first answer, what does he say? Yesh lechad shlo lishma oker karban bosev korban acher. He's clearly changing what the rule of the exception. He's not saying something special with pigle, something special with lishma. Why is the lishma worse than any other psul? Because every other psul means you did the avodah wrong. What does Shlomo Shema mean? Which is a big chakira, right? Shlomo Shema chatas l'shem Shlomo. Shlomo l'shem chatas, whatever it may be. There are two ways to understand the soul of Shlomo Shema. Is it that I mess up the avodah by thinking wrong? Or is it that I redefine the karban as the wrong karban? Meaning, sort of like, Does shelo lishma, I think this is what he means. Does shelo lishma work? Right? If I bring chatos shen ola, is it that it's a chatas and I did a stupid avoda? So it's possible. Or no, it's a chatas that I turn into an ola. But I can't really turn into an ola. I can just a little turn into an ola. So now it's a monstrosity. So it's possible. Right? Okay. You really have to get into perichatas ha'ov, the fascinating question of machlokas tanaim, whether there's ever a circumstance in which shelo lishma can make it a kasher of what you thought. If there's ever such a circumstance, that might reveal what's going on always. And if there's never such a circumstance, that might be revelatory in the opposite direction, but that's not our topic now. Just look at my folks at the very beginning of the Parakhatas of Ophan's mind. Or someday we'll get to it. Anyway, what is the Tosas in the first answer saying? He's saying that here it's different because Oker HaKorban, the Osehu Korban Achir, as opposed to it's not Oker HaKorban. What do I think he means here? What I think he means here is that here I'm going out a little bit on a limb. Clearly, this is the rule. Right? The rule is that, because he didn't say there's anything special about people. The rule is that we don't say Igloi Nosa by Azrika Psula. The rule is we don't say Igloi Nosa by Azrika Psula. No, no, if you do Azrika Psula, it's still only, that is, it's still only the Zrika. That's good enough that it was only the Zrika. But why? Here's maybe what I'm going to claim. Okay? You can tell me if you think you're a better shot. I'm going to be influenced by those many parents. Because you know what? Even a Zrika Bipsol is still a Zrika. It's still a Zrika. It's still a Zrika. Even a Zrika Bipsol is still a Zrika. It's a Zrika Bipsol. It's not a Zrika Psul. It's a Zrika Bipsol. You can say, we anticipated the Zrika. We didn't anticipate the Psul. Maybe the rule is you can anticipate the Zrika without the Psul. Right? Let me prejudice my lashon by don't say by Nosa by a Zrika Yesol because we can anticipate the Zrika even without Xeris Kasov without anticipating the Psul. Maybe we can anticipate the Zrika without anticipating the Psul. It's only Glizro. The fact that you reserved the Psul doesn't bother us. It's only Glizro. The Psul is an Andrazach, is a separate opinion. Except for Psul of Shlul Lishma. So Psul of Shlul Lishma is not just a Zrika with a Psul. It's a Zrika of an entirely different karma. It's a Zrika of an entirely different karma. It's a Zrika of getting this karma off track and making an entirely different karma. So maybe the coin was for Freya. It was never all made for a Zrika of this karma. It was only for a Zrika of a different karma. And again, there's some saying maybe. I don't know for sure. But maybe this is the exception. It's not a Zrika of a Psul. It's a Zrika of a different karma. That it was never omade for Zrika of this carbon. It's not even a Zrika of this carbon, it's a Zrika of an entirely different carbon. You can't say, meaning, I'm just saying, you can't say, I'm claiming it's the same sort of inheritance, just changing what's the rule, what's the default. I'm trying to separate a sort of non-Zrika from a Zrika plus a Psul. You know what I'm saying? It's a Zrika plus a Psul. We anticipate the Zrika. We don't anticipate the Psul, my friend. Except for Shlul Lishma. Shlul Lishma is not a Zrika with a Psul. It's not a Zrika of this carbon at all. It's a Zrika of an entirely different carbon. If it's a Zrika of an entirely different carbon, then this carbon was never Nisra. It's an entirely different carbon that was Nisra. We're over the whole carbon. This carbon is never Nisra. That we can't anticipate. You can't say, well, let's anticipate the Zrika. It was only the Zrika. Forget the Shlul Lishma. No, because you can't forget the Shlul Lishma. It's not even the same Zrika. It's only the can't say it's only the Zerika for Shol Hashma, because it's Shol Hashma, because the Zerika was a Zerika entire new carbon. Maybe that's the Svara of, again, I'm writing what they said in green, the Svara is in black or blue, or a little green, whatever I think. More if I had a lot of ink in each marker. But you can fix that in your notes. Okay, that's what I think, or maybe some of the assumptions of Hachim that are brought off by the Rishon. Yes.
And C and D, in all four cases, the Ikar is Khazar Dami?
Yes, correct, meaning in all these cases, I'm going with the Tzad that the Ikar is Khazar Dami, correct. In all these cases, I'm going with Tzad that the Ikar is always Khazar Dami, correct. Very good. Okay, Leon, I'll have you the word again. Okay. Our time is up. This is our last year before the Mechira. Don't be scared. Be invigorated. You're most about the Mechira in a second. Let's just finish up the Gemara very, very quickly. I think there'll be a nice idea at the end. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Or at least, we'll see what we can get. Sheiros Hayu. They were kosher. A third shot, perhaps. They weren't pasul, like, because of no sarlina. They weren't sort of limbo of psul and kashros to nishmachatan. Rather, they were kosher legamre. Kolzman shemunachos kolam ochlin nidlachne and tolav lo ochlin lo sorfin nidlushneim eskilikul and sorfin. Okay, that's just things we're reading now. The price of these things. But he says they were sheros legamre. Okay, here it seems like he's a third shita, right? Psulos, limbo, and sheros legamre. If it's Kshiros Legamre, then, as Tosa say, my Mishano Sashizism, then why you Mishmer Shumosai? I'm sorry, I have to get it again. I have something. Mishmer, how can you be Ma'abe? How can you leave till the sixth hour to be forbidden Lachbe Tona that are Kshiros Legamre? It doesn't make any sense. You're not allowed to waste Kutchim, it's a Bizayan of Kutchim. So that's Tosa's Kasha. What's the answer of Tosos and Rove Rishonim? That you have to read the Brisa a little less literally. It doesn't mean you take one down at the beginning of the fifth hour and one down at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rather, in the most Rishonim say the Tosos, you take one down at the beginning of the fifth hour and one down close to the end of the fifth hour. But we, this Tana, held like Rav Gamliel, who says you're allowed to eat truma during the fifth hour. And of course, Kolshkin, you're allowed to eat kutchim in the fifth hour. So really, nothing went to waste. They were kosher. You took one down, and you had an hour to eat it, and everyone stopped eating kulim. Took the other down with 2 minutes left to eat, but ate it quickly before it got puzzled, before it got usher. And even though it was 2 minutes early, that's fine. That's when everyone started burning and ushering behind on. That's what Tosfos Rishonim say. They just, what? Exactly. You would eat both these loaves. They're both kosher. Just one of them you take the beginning of the fifth hour and have an hour to leisurely eat. The other you take down 2 minutes before the end and gobble up really quickly. Yes. There's no gzeir because we're on Leo who says there's no gzeir on Truman Kutcher. The Tosos Chachli and Leo agrees with Tosos, but he pulls a weird shot from Rashi that we don't have in our Rashi. I don't think we have any Rashi on this. But he must have had Rashi on this Kutcher. He says, Rashi said that Rabbi Eliezer was not a third Shita. He really was the same as Rabbi Yannai. When he said Sheiros, he meant like Rabbi Yannai said Sheiros, but Nishmach Adam. Okay, then you don't have any Kasha, because it was Taka. Even though it was Sheiros, it was really Psulos, and therefore it wasn't wasting. There's two other interesting answers in the Achronim. The Rishash says, we referred to earlier, says the Rishash, you know why this Rabbi Eliezer held when he said Sheiros? The Kashas, how can you waste them? You don't waste them. There were Matzah. Remember, there's Matzah and the Kriyam al Zerach Karbono, Im al Tadoya Kribenim, Kriyam al Zerach Karbono, Chalos Matzos, Bulos Bashamen, or Kay Matzos, Bishofim Bashamen, Besolos for Beches, Chalos Bulos Bashamen, Al Chalos Lechem Chameitz, Yakriyam Karbono al Zerach Nashlaman. There's Matzah and Chameitz. Rabbi Lezer argues that everyone else says you didn't use Chameitz, you use Matzah. It's a little dacha, because wouldn't it be better if Chameitz is a simon for Chameitz? So Rabbi Lezer thinks he's a little Menchem, he says bread can also be a simon for bread. Still better than a flag. And the Tzlach has a very fascinating answer. He makes a big finish. He says the Tzlach, big finish. He says, chametz, and you took it down in the sixth hour, you could still eat it. Because you're allowed to eat the chametz of kachim all day long. That's a big chiddush. Ah, it's against all the mishnayos about chulin and truma. Mishnayos for chulin and truma. The mishnayos never discuss kachim, right? Mishnayos never discuss kachim. But what's the svara? Why should we eat kachim all day long? Don't say because you want to be makel because of kachim. Then be makel in the fifth hour. That's where we're going to leave. Right? You're not going to permit him in the sixth hour because the seventh hour is against the raisa. That would be crazy to permit him in the sixth hour. So what's the tzlach's chap? His chap is that if we assume we hold like Rav Shimon against Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Shimon, what's the status of chametz in our Pesach afternoon? It may be also Rabbanon or maybe also the raisa because of? Yes, Seif Tashviso. According to Rav Shimon, there's only an Seif Tashviso in our Pesach. And then you'd say if the Rabbanon extended an hour, that's an extension of Seif Tashviso. And what's the chap? Tashviso applies to Chulin and Truma, which belong to you. But Tashviso only applies to your property. Baharaya, you don't have to destroy property with good chametz of in your house. Tashvisu, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is allowed. The law does not take any chametz. But Tashvisu only applies to your chametz. And Lach Mei Toda aren't yours because they're Malon Gavola. Yisholchem Gavola Kazachu. Kachim belong to Hashem, not to you. And therefore, since it belongs to Hashem, there's no chi of Tashvisu. Since there's no chi of Tashvisu, you're allowed to eat it all day or Pesach. That's the big chiddush of the Tzlach. It's a big chiddush. No, Kachim is also Mishol and Gavoa Kazachu. The question is whatever the fact is Kachim Kalam, you'll say, Leo, Tamar, Biden, Hang, even Kachim is back with the whole word Chayim, that's only until you're back for afterwards, you get the Mishol and Gavoa Kazachu. Pashtos. Yeah, that's only for your back for Pashtos. That's what Chayim is. Yeah, but the Chori, that's only until a problem. So, okay, we're using legal expunging out loan by the way, it's a big machlokes in what circumstances before or after, but at the very least, among the most sheetahs. Okay, again, those are our four answers. Either A, it was matzah, no problem, you can eat all day or shash. B, it was chametz, but you could eat chametz that's loan gavoa all day. Oh, the big fish, you know what? Big fish burned that flock, you would almost say, I can eat chametz with light all day. Something gets out of it, because once I swallow it, it becomes mine, and that's a problem. Only loan gavoa, even after I swallow it, doesn't become mine. Right? If the guys, once I swallow, it becomes mine. Mom Gavoa, even when I swallow, it's still Mom Gavoa, so that's the only thing I'm letting go day. Third answer is the Toskach Le'anu Shem Rashi. He doesn't mean Shiro, so he means Nishkach Adam, and it's really only two sheep, it's the same for Yanai, and therefore it's not wasting. Fourth answer is Tosos. It's not wasting because you eat in the fifth hour, and it doesn't literally mean that you wait till the end of the fifth hour. It means you wait till almost the end of the fifth hour, and just leave yourself enough time to gobble it up in the fifth hour. Okay, finishing up the Mishnah, the Gemara, Tanya, Abishalomer, he disagrees. Someone suggested flags, that's Abishal. He says, Taka, for whatever reason, he doesn't think it was bread. Maybe he just agrees with all the criticisms of each sheet until now. Right? Each sheet that Akasha, he doesn't like each sheet. Shkei Paras HaYukhoshishmar Mishnah, there were two cows plowing on Harazesim, Haramishnah Harazesim, right? Mishnah's olive oil. Calls Manches. Shishteim Horshos Kola Am Oflin, as long as they're both plowing. It's basically it's the same as the bread now. Everyone ate. Nitals Achlem, you remove one cow, Tolom Vlochlo Sorfin, you don't have to burn it yet, you can sell it to the guy, etc., but you can't eat it. It Lushneim still comes Sorfin. Then it's the sixth hour, and everyone would start burning their chametz. Agam will just give 1 second to the Yerushalmi here. Tosos quotes an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that they weren't actually plowing, they just looked like they were plowing, they were just walking around. Because Yerushalayim is a makom shenagul b'lasos melacha. Yeah, but not the afternoon. The afternoon is a din, even in the morning, right? That was under 200, right? So the Yerushalayim says Yerushalayim is a makom shenagul b'lasos melacha. Then that brings up a famous question that we show him. Mehechi tasty that Yerushalayim is a makom shenagul b'lasos melacha. After all, what do we know in the Mishnah Daf Nun Hey? That in Yehuda they would do melacha in the morning, and Galil they wouldn't. Where's Yerushalayim? In Yehuda, obviously. So why does Yerushalmi think that Yerushalayim is a makom shenagu shel lasas melacha? That is a fundamental machlokes. Rishonim. Why you can't do melacha in Yerushalayim? Let's just briefly put this on the board in 3 seconds, and then we'll break for a couple weeks. Um, me do melacha in Yerushalayim. So, the pshat of the Yerushalmi, I must admit, pshat of the Yerushalmi is just that in old Yehuda they did melacha, but not in Yerushalayim. The Me'iri here says, the one of the course, the Me'iri says, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they always do all the most chomer things. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of the extra machmer, so all of Yehuda, they did melacha, except for the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, obviously, you keep all the most chomer minhagim. Where is there to be machmer? The whole world of the Beis HaMikdash. So and that can be pshat of the Yerushalmi. So one answer is maybe the pshat of the Yerushalmi, and the Me'iri says, Yehuda nahagu lasos, aval b'mikdash, Nagu lehachmir. Okay, that could be, but you see, it's the lechidish. They have told you, Yerushalayim sounds like the whole city, and Yerushalayim is the biggest city in Yehuda. No, say the mikdash is one thing. It says Yerushalayim. So Agav, the Maror Chalav in his second answer, the Maror Chalav obviously didn't have a copy of Yerushalayim. He only had a quote to be shown him, right? So put it in parentheses, just against the Yerushalayim. Says the Maror Chalav. In his second answer, he says, Nagu lasos melacha. Aval, lal haya chaklaot, he says, sada avuda, beharazesim. He says, the Yerushalmi's not because there's no gushal lasos melacha. It's because there were no farms in harazesim, so there's nothing for them to plant. He didn't have a copy of Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says explicitly, there were no gushal lasos melacha. Can't say Pshat like Maror Chalav. So what is all Tosos? What does everyone say? Everyone says like Tosos and the Rishonim. What does Tosos say? Says Tosos, Svara Hulinu Sham Isser. Kemishim is Katzim Sham Apim Komo Shinago and Isser. Because everyone goes to Shalayim for the Regel. Even people from Galil who have an Isser. And therefore it should be Machmer because everyone comes together. Says Tosos and the Rishonim, Svara Lehachmir Mipnei Shemiskavtsin Sham Af Mimakom Shina Hagubo Isser. Here it's a little tricky. What mission is this against? It's against the first mission of the Minhag, which is if you go to a place they have a different Minhag, then you have to fit in with the Minhagabakom, right? It never says that. Everyone is that the people in the town. Never says, well, I live in a town, I have to do the minhag of the visitors. It says the visitors have to adapt to the minhag of the townspeople. So this is exceedingly difficult. This is exceedingly difficult. This shot of Tosos, the Achronim struggle with how to understand this shot of Tosos. I'll tell you what some of them say, I'll tell you what I like. Why? That's not the normal rule of Minhagim. Normal rule is the visitors have to respect the Minhag of Uncle. Not the residents have to do the Minhag of the visitors. So, here, you don't have full answers. Says the Magen Avraham, Lo Sisko to do. There are so many Jews there that it became Lo Sisko to do. If half would do Malacha, half wouldn't, that's Lo Sisko to do. What would he say? I guess he would say, the Mishnah Shinah was referring to when there's one visitor here and there. It's not Los Escondes to do. He's quiet, he's not noticeable, etc. You have so many people already comes to Shash of Los Escondes to do. Okay, you have to figure out where to draw the line. How do you know when there's so many people that's Los Escondes to do, and when it's just regular Makum Shinagu? Okay, says the Maror Chalav in his first answer. I hope I have the order correct. He says there's a rule. Dvarim Hamutarim Va'achirim Nagu Bohem Isser I Atarashai Lehatira Mifnehem. If some things mutter, but some people are meaning to answer it, you can't mutter it in their face. That would cause a weakness in religion. Both these answers are still docha, because what about as you have much no stop? If I live in Minsk and I go to Pinsk. And I don't do malacha, and they do malacha. When I go to Pinsk, I don't do malacha, and they do malacha. It's the first Mishnah. So exactly where you draw the line, they don't clarify where you draw the line. It's still a little dachuk, because you have to still clarify where to draw the line, right? This is still a dayan tzarech ion Maishna mistam holeich mimakom she'ein osin lemakom she'osin. And it's not a pure play. You're going to have to say, no, here it's a svara because the numbers to be more machmir. Right? You have to say, no, here it's just bigger numbers. Right? L'chora hachiluk hamuti. Right? Quantitative. L'chora it's a quantitative joke. However, I think the best shot of the Chassam Sofer says. Says the Chassam Sofer, he says something very partial. And I saw in the Pierce called the Late Tamar, or Yisaka Tamar in the Yerushalmi, he waxes poetic and talks about this. He says, is this a regular case of Makom Shenagu, Makom Shalom Nagu, like the residents of the Malbatim versus the visitors who have to fit in? Or is there something different about this case? Is this just like the guy in Minsk going to Pinsk, where obviously Pinsk is Kovei and the Minsk people have to be flexible and accommodate? Or is this a little different? And if so, how? Don't tell just because there's a lot of people who want to be Xeros. So I think here's Pashat. What do you mean Yerushalayim? This is Aliyah L'Regel Yerushalayim. Aliyah L'Regel Yerushalayim, says the Chassam Sofer. Are you going to say that here everyone else is a stranger and only some people are Shaykh Yerushalayim, not others? No, Yerushalayim of Neyaki, Irsha Kubrula Yachdav, Irsha Uzbakol Yisrael Chavirim. In Aliyah L'Regel, the whole point of Aliyah L'Regel is the Rakhul Lechor, that all the Jews have to be unified. The whole point of Aliyah L'Regel is Achdos between Jews. Prove that to me from Meseches Chagiga, which the Chassam Sofer is quoting from, making an allusion to. What do we know Meseches Chagiga? No, that's not a Chagiga. Remember Amoratzim and Chavirim? You can't eat or touch things in the Amoratzim except Tara of the Amoratzim Regel. Amoratzim, there's no division between Jews. It's Irsha Chubra Lo Yachtov, Kol Yisrael Chavirim. The whole point of Yerushalayim of the Regel is that all the Jews have to be, have Achdos and be the same. In the Alei Tamar, in the Yerushalmi here, he points out, what Yaakov pointed out, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim. Yerushalayim can't be a place that's better than the visitors. That's Minsk and Pinsk. Or Zvul and Yisachar. But in Yerushalayim, the whole point of nischalka l'shvatim wasn't divided up for the Shvatim. It is for everyone equally. It is the home of all of Klal Yisrael without divisions. The whole point of Yerushalayim is that it has to accommodate and unify everyone. And therefore, forget about Makom Shenagu. Makom Shenagu is for normal places. Normal places, there's the place and the visitors are not Shayach, and the residents are Shayach with their Minhagim. But Yerushalayim, unlike nowadays, Minhag Yerushalayim. No, he claimed that once upon a time, you couldn't have Minhag Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim had to be Minhag Klal Yisrael. And if different people have different things, then everyone shouldn't do Malacha, because that way, it would be the best way to Ma'achin all the Minhagim. Right? That's the only way to Ma'achin all the Minhagim, make everyone comfortable. Right, so it's a special din Yerushalayim b'shas Aliyah L'Regel. Lenny's Daiti, I think that's clearly the best explanation here for Tosfos and Yerushalmi. That no, that as he quotes, Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtov, which Chazal Darshin Oseh Es Kol Yisrael Chavirim. Since Yerushalayim, the whole point of Aliyah L'Regel Yerushalayim is that it makes us all unified. Therefore, in Yerushalayim, we have to have a unified minhag. You can't have visitors doing one thing and other people doing another thing like the normal Makom Shenagu. Yerushalayim is different. It's klali, it's lumi, and not mikomi. And therefore, it makes sense that Yerushalayim, who cares if it's in Yehuda? It's irrelevant. Yerushalayim is in Klal Yisrael. It's not in Yehuda. It just happens to be Yehuda. Right? Right? Yerushalayim shy to a Sheikat? No, Yerushalayim is Klal Yisrael. And that's what the Chassam Sofer says. And again, the Alei Tamar says it in greater length if you want to look on the Yerushalmi for part one. I think that's a nice shot. Okay, we didn't quite get to everything that was on the Makor sheet. We certainly didn't get to everything that was not on the Makor sheet. That's very interesting. So maybe we'll have to come back to this a little in June. But we'll break now as our normal minhag to have the Gemara Bechina at the end of May so that it doesn't overlap with Halacha Bechina. Again, review the schedule. Last day of May is the Gemara Bechina. Everyone in Karsh take the Gemara Bechina Lishma. Both those official Smicha students are in Karsh take the Gemara Bechina Lishma, because Chazar is the best way to make sure you know Torah. And those who are not official Smicha students are encouraged to take the Gemara Bechina Lishma. If you want to take the Gemara Bechina and not hand it in to me, you're also allowed to do that Lishma, even though, you know, there's no need to be intimidated. But everyone's really encouraged to Chazar. When, you know, when I was in Princeton, I took Rev. Rosenzweig's Gemara Bechinas from YU. every semester, even though I did not get any credit for it, and I was not an officially enrolled YU student, and I was just listening on what they had before YU Torah, which is called the tape recorder, because that way you're really combing your learning a lot better than if you don't chaser, and I'll say if you're learning, you don't chaser, then they say not much things, which we won't repeat now. Anyway, so the last day of May will Amir Tzashem be the Mechina, then for the first 2 weeks of June, we'll continue in the first parak. And then June 15th will be the end of the regular Zman, beginning of the summer Zman, which we'll learn Tamid Mishkat. Hopefully, we'll allow everyone the choice of coming back in person, hopefully even for the beginning of June, if not certainly from the middle of June, and I will let everyone know. And we should hear Amir Tzashem, Besoros Tovos, and Yeshuas Menachamos for Klal Yisrael B'Karov. Okay, anyone has any questions, certainly feel free to ask. I apologize for keeping everyone long.